They're friendly. That's like the biggest compliment ever. Ready?
Right. Neil, and they all love flashlights.
That voice is the voice of Neil Brennan. Wow. If you don't know Neil Brennan, he would be right now. He was the co-creator of The Chappelle Show.
Shut up. Don't
hate on that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't hate. There's a lot of dudes, just because you can get a hold of a guy on Twitter and go, yeah, we know you were the fucking host. You're co-fucking creator, whatever you are, dude. We heard it already.
Yeah.
Next thing.
What else did you do?
No, people don't want to hear that, man. They don't want to hear the actual truth. Meanwhile, if it was them, goddamn. They would never stop talking about it.
Yeah, they talk
it's
about
reality.
Yeah,
people look. If you don't know Neil Brennan, he deserves to be recognized for what he has accomplished.
I deserve this,
bitch. He also deserves a free fleshlight. Would you like one?
Yeah, sir? I would love one.
I got a good one for you. A fresh new one, a new package of them. Is that true? We're sponsored by the fleshlight. There's nothing in that one, Brian, because you sucked it out like a fucking weirdo. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the fleshlight and enter in the code name Rogan, you will save yourself 15% off an excellent masturbation tool. It's a real good product, ladies and gentlemen. If it wasn't, we wouldn't get behind it here at the Joe Rogan Experience. We're also brought to you by Onnit. That's O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, which is a cognitive enhancing supplement. If you want to learn all about the various things that we have, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and 5-HTP.
What is the shroom part?
Shroom is a cordyceps mushroom.
So
cordyceps for one of them. I don't know what the immune one is.
So it's not psilocybin?
No.
I thought it was just.
Could you
like,
imagine if you could just get away with selling that? Can you imagine? How dare you? No, it's there's certain mushrooms that they found people eat in high altitudes to help them deal with the low air out there.
Okay,
it enables your body somehow or another to process oxygen more effectively, and it's mixed with other stuff that's really good for you too. Like it's got a lot of B12 in it. So together, it's a good pre-workout supplement. I take it before jiu-jitsu or for kettlebells or something like that, like 45 minutes before. I definitely think
I fuck with kettlebells boost. Now, by the way.
It's awesome.
It's the best because it doesn't take a long time.
No, you could get blasted out in
I'm
20 minutes.
I'm blasted, bro.
Yeah. Whoa, you are, dude. You are. We're on it. We're making kettlebells as well. And that should
be really?
Really soon. Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to pre-order.
We got, dude, I'll get you some. We got, we're going to have regular kettlebells. We're going to make them the best we can make them. And ship them the cheapest we can ship them and sell them the cheapest we can sell them. That's the goal with these.
That is the, because I went and bought
They're
one.
Super expensive.
I bought one. It's like $1 a pound.
Yeah, a dollar a pound is normal. So 70 pounds is like a $70 purchase for this one piece of metal. The real bitch, ladies and gentlemen, is shipping these things. That's where it's going
to
cost.
Yeah, well, that's what I went to the Valley and bought one.
Yeah.
Like, because I wanted to ship it.
So, we're going to have two different lines of kettlebells, and here's what's up. We're going to have the regular kettlebells that we're going to sell and make as inexpensive but high quality. It has to be high quality first. It has to be done to the right dimensions. It has to, the grip has to be the right size. That all has to be taken into account for first. And then we have to sell it as cheap as possible and ship it as cheap as possible. The idea is to make it as the most, make them like the most affordable kettlebells that are the best quality you can get. That's the goal. That's 100% the goal.
Right.
And we don't have to advertise anywhere else. We're going to see, like, you know, I think people respond to it. And
have you seen prototypes of them?
I already have one. I'll show
are
you.
They,
I have one here.
Okay. Because mine is, I have sweaty palms.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it is good, but it sometimes it slips. So
yeah,
I'll
but that's why I'm saying it's good. When it's wet, sometimes when I'm concentrating on specific techniques, I'll chalk up my hands. I'll use like weightlifter chalk, which really helps. It absorbs all the sweat, and you just rub it down and chalk it up before each set. But when you're sweaty, it forces you to grip it harder. And I think it's really good for your hand strength. So lately, I've been not using the powder and just trying to concentrate on just gripping it even harder. And I think I have really sweaty hands, but I think it actually improves my grip strength. It's, you know, but you also got to worry. You're throwing a 50-pound kettlebell around.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I do it in my living room, so it's like
I have a tiny gym that I lift weights in. It's like as small as this office. So I'll fucking, if I slip.
Does that happen a lot?
No.
They should have one of those straps.
It's made my grip 100 times. No, not 100 times. But for jiu-jitsu, it's made my grip way better than it ever was before. Because I'm regularly throwing these 70-pound things around with each hand. And there's so much inertia. And there's so much, like, when you're catching it, you're catching this. Like, this is a fat metal bar with a cannonball behind it.
That's the point.
Yeah. It builds your whole body to work as one unit. When everybody does lift, you know, if you lift weights, like, lifting weights is great. If you want to get your biceps bigger, do curls. You want to get, you know, it's all simple. Everybody everybody knows how to do it, right? But when you're doing that normal bodybuilding stuff, you're isolating all your muscles, which is really weird. And it doesn't ever happen like that in the wild. You know, if you're using your body, you're never in a jungle doing like tricep extensions. It's stupid.
Most people are training for the wild, correct?
You're moving around. Yeah, life. You're moving around as one unit. Okay, and if you want to get strong, you should get strong. The idea behind it is as one unit. So when you're doing kettlebells, your whole body is working.
I got to say, kettlebells, taking my ass from maybe a 3.5 to a 7.
That's a strong
statement. No, but it's looking.
Ass is a 7?
It's a 7.
Sir, you walked in front of me, okay, and you sat down. 10. And I can't, unless you're sagging. Are you sagging?
No.
You sag, do you?
No, but I had nothing. I had nothing.
White guys that sag.
I think I was on the door. I think I was knocking on the door.
You were thinking about
doing it? Until I read 4-Hour Body.
Oh.
And then I started doing kettlebells.
That's
not
what I mean. I mean like sag their pants.
Oh, like hip-hoppy?
Yes, hip-hoppy.
I think at this point it's a little corny.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it didn't bother. Yeah, I was probably one of them. Although I do pride myself on having never really been jived out.
You never jived out?
Not really.
No,
I was
accent.
Never like a little, maybe for a second, like really? In 92.
Like, what was the most embarrassing statement you might have said in 92?
I had a Public Enemy jacket in 1992.
Right. Okay.
Which, you know, was a little corny. And I had a, but that was about it. I mean, it wasn't like crazy.
Okay. Well, I probably would have bought a Public Enemy jacket if they had one for sale.
I'd buy one today.
If it was now you would, but this was on their like descent.
Oh. You were just letting me
I would say that I would say the N-word a lot.
Oh, really?
Just around like
white
I was
guys,
like, feeling my
white
oats.
Guys or black guys?
Black dude. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, it was like feeling my oats.
That's scary. You're a white devil.
I've been around those white dudes that'll say nigger around a black guy, and I'm like, yo, what are you doing, man? You trying to start some shit here?
Right.
Like, what are you pretending that's not like inflammatory?
Yeah, problem.
You know, we're just supposed to let it go. We're just supposed to let it go because you're cool about it.
Yeah.
Come on, silly. That's a highly charged word.
No, hey, that was my thing. Yeah.
Anyway, brought to you by Onnit.com. That was a commercial. Go check out our shit. Go online. Let's start.
It's going to do something for you. I'm telling you, these kettlebells in your ass.
It's amazing workout. I love it. It's the number one strength thing that I do. Go to Onnit.com, Onnit, and enter in the code name for Rogan. I think the kettlebells aren't going to be ready for like a week or so, but we'll let you know as soon as they are. All right, freaks, let's start this bitch. Enter in the code name Rogan. Get yourself 10% off everything, all order. And if you order 30 pills on the first order, it's 100% money back guarantee. If you try it, you don't like it, you're like, this is bullshit. We're way more concerned with no one feeling like they got ripped off.
The other cool thing is I ordered and they sent like all sorts of little supplements with it. And like it's not you don't just get the thing that you got.
Did they send you like the different stuff like New Mood or something?
Yeah,
those lines?
Just tons of like, hey, try a few of these. And a few
it's all the highest quality shit you can get online. Google nootropics, folks. Check in, look into it. You know, don't just make an impulse buy. You should really read up on it. There's some fascinating pro and con. All right, that's it. Start the podcast. Neil Brennan's here, ladies and gentlemen.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Powerful Nick Diaz representing. I'm going to go watch Nick Diaz compete in a grappling match, Brian. You want to come and film it? It's like May 12th in Long Beach. Nick Diaz is going to fight Braulio Estima, this world champion Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. They're going to have a grappling-only match.
Weird.
Yeah, it'd be dope.
Hey, what is powerful? You've texted me powerful.
Everybody, powerful.
It's just
powerful,
like
Neil Brennan.
It's just sort of a catch-all silly ass.
Well, I say like, powerful Neil Brennan. And so I'm letting you know you're powerful. I'm giving you energy. I'm firing you up.
Thank you.
You know, I'm happy to be around you.
Yeah.
When you say that to someone, you're happy to be around them. Powerful Neil Brennan, right? Powerful Brian Rubin.
I don't use it that much.
I've used the shit out of that.
Yeah, I forget about it.
Text form.
You powerfuled me on the thing.
Yeah, man. Spread out that positivity. That's what it is. It sounds corny to say, spread out that positivity.
I thought it was
just
sort of sarcastic.
No, it's being silly. It's fun. Powerful fun. Powerful is like positive fun.
Okay.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Whoever, name a guy.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Powerful Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Where you been, kid?
Give him one more. Give him one more.
One more name.
Don't hate on Jonathan Taylor.
JTT, come on, man.
He's the bomb.
What happens to guys like that? They go and do Lifetime movies now? Does he do other
You know, stuff? I think he's one of those guys that I could be completely wrong that he did the school thing where he's like, you know what, I'm going back to school. I'm doing
good for him.
That's the thing to
good
do.
For him.
Yeah. Don't rely on. I think the kid from Jerry Maguire got into a DUI.
Oh, yeah.
I had him on a podcast recently.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He got a DUI, and I remember, an accident, and I remember he was driving a Saturn, and I was like, come on, show business.
Wow.
Couldn't do better than give that fucking kid a Saturn.
He grew up really well, good. Like, his parents and him are really close and stuff like that. Now he's, does jiu-jitsu. He's been doing jiu-jitsu since he was a kid.
Okay.
Wait, which kid is this again?
I want to say Lipnicki.
Lipnicki.
Is that who
it
is?
Yeah.
That's Heffron's buddy.
Yeah, we had him on.
He strangles Heffron. They do jiu-jitsu together, and he kicks his ass.
That's funny.
Apparently, he's good.
He's a real cool guy. Real nice guy. Really well brought up.
Listen, some guys get through it. We had Ricky Schroeder on here. Remember how nice he was?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. He's really he's nice almost like himself. Evangelical. He's almost like born again.
Was for a little bit, but he's kind of mellowed off that now. They were like pretty hardcore. Well, it's his business, whatever. But he's a super nice guy. You know, he's just and somehow or another he made it through. You know, he made it through as a fucking. He said he had a weird way of describing it when he was on the podcast. He said he has never not been famous. He goes, it's all I've ever known.
Yeah.
He goes, it's weird and everything, but it's all I've ever known.
Right.
I've had some ups and downs and trying to figure out how to deal with it, but that's his whole life.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fuck, that's nuts. That was a really fascinating conversation.
Do you being famous? Do you compare it to not being famous very much anymore? Meaning, like, do you go like? Do you once a day? Do you go fuck? I wish I could just. I wish it were 1990. I wish I had the identity of 1990.
No, you know how I look at it? It's just a bunch of people being nice, for the most part. It's like, what are you putting out there? I have opinions about things, and I joke around about things. Like, the last bad energy that I got was when I was making fun of some dude in the Country Music Awards. But homeboy was standing in front of a jet playing a country music song with jeans that had, cut rips on them.
Right.
Like, on purpose, all over them. And I was like, come on, that's fucking ridiculous.
You were shitting on him on Twitter?
I couldn't stop goofing on him, and goofing on those jeans. And then I was even admitting that I wear a fanny pack and I have a wallet chain, and I'm still goofing on that. Like, that's how stupid those fucking jeans were. Like, one day we're going to look back on those jeans. This is country music, man. Country music is supposed to be Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, and that's like real country music. That's not real country. You're standing in front of a jet.
Yeah.
The fuck are you doing in front of a jet? What are you doing?
Like, in a hangar?
Like, he's playing overseas. Like, I'm here for, this is like overseas with the boys. I'm getting in front of the jet, I support the troops.
Oh, he's playing in front of like an F-15 or something?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what are you doing there?
He's in the day.
I don't know if the whole show was in front of a jet. They might have done the whole Country Music Awards in front of a jet, which would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if the set's changed. You know, I really have no idea. I only watched it for a little bit, but I made a joke that Country Music Awards hates black people so much they won't even use black microphones because it was a red microphone.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, when was the last time you saw a red microphone?
Well, yeah, that is funny because I will shit on stuff online, and I'm like, well, am I at a certain, like, we're comics, but then at a certain point, it's like, when do you go, I don't want to make fun of that? Or, I don't know.
It's hard, man, because I always want to say what's funny and what I would say amongst my friends who wouldn't judge me. Like, could all be talking. Perfect example, Amy Schumer. When Amy Schumer was on yesterday and we were talking to her, we were joking around about her mother possibly being a cunt. And I'm like, how often do you, you can just always go there when you're with a bunch of comics and you're all just sitting around shit on each other. You could always go to some terrible place. And we don't really think you mean it.
Right.
We're not going to call you on it. We know you're just trying to be funny by saying something fucked up.
But that's like with we talked about the N-word last time, but I was thinking about how comics, I was thinking today how my brother Kevin, comedian Kevin Brennan, and Attell, when I was like in high school, had a joke where if they would like be on the phone and they go like, hey, what's the weather like? And it'd be like, it's raining. And they'd be like, fucking niggers. Like somehow black people control the weather, which is so stupid and hilarious.
Right. Hilarious, so because they didn't mean it.
No, of course you don't mean it. And also the idea, you're making fun of the idea that, but most people just don't.
That's how I get
iron.
Right,
so like they just don't get iron.
But they won't. They're not able to look at life with layers,
right?
And they can't see that at the bottom of it. It's supposed to be about intent, you know. And this is not just about white guys that are throwing. You know,
yeah. No, it's just like people. Or like you'll just go like, what a cunt.
Yeah, you got to know when someone is joking, when it's obvious. There's certain people. Some people will say things in a crowd, and like you'll be the only one that laughs, and there'll be like eight or nine people that are really pissed off.
Yeah,
like, come on, he said something
like
silly.
Gilbert with the Geico ads and all of Gilbert's jokes about the tsunami were fucking hilarious. They were hilarious. I was watching them in real time, going like, boy, these are fucking funny jokes. And then he got in trouble.
Oh well, he went too quick.
No, I know, but that's
you can't
level.
Even say too quick because you couldn't even do that now. You can't do tsunami
too soon.
You know?
But if you couldn't do it now because people don't remember it.
Did you hear about the Florida Marlins guy who got suspended for 5 days?
That.
It's so ridiculous.
I'm because I actually tweeted yesterday. Like, shouldn't he be protected by the First Amendment?
Tell people the story.
All right, the story was he said that. First of all, everything he says is fucking batshit crazy. He's got one of the funniest Twitter feeds ever.
What is his Twitter? What is his
Ozzie name? Guillen.
How do you spell that?
OzzieGuillen. But go back like 2 months. Because he just go like, hey, just so.
GL what?
GUILLEN. Anyway, he said something in an interview where he's great because he just won't apologize for shit. So he said something in an interview in Time Magazine in Espanol that he admired Castro. Now, what he was saying was he admired him because the guy, I admire Castro in certain respect. The fact that Castro has outlasted this many people as a comic, I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. Like, the entire world is against this guy. And he's like, no, you can send me exploding cigars. Nope. You can fucking, I mean, he's tyrannical. He's a dickhead. It's, but the fact that I respect his endurance, a guy that can last 60 years.
Yeah.
Like, and.
Well, he even said he's a bad motherfucker.
Exactly.
That's the words he used. He said he's a bad motherfucker. I think, you know, right. He's just a lot. Joey Diaz will say the same shit. And Joey Diaz is born in Cuba. He'll tell you, look, Castro's a bad motherfucker. He's still running shit down there.
Yeah. You know, it's like when Bill Maher said so anyway, he got suspended 5 games, the coach of a baseball team for saying that Castro was great or something.
Was a bad motherfucker because he was saying that he's been in power for so many years and people have tried to remove him. He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
that's all he said.
Yeah.
He didn't say like he's doing wonderful things and he's misunderstood.
Yeah. He's a humanitarian.
And political strategy. No, he just said he's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're telling me that a guy who's in professional sports can't call a guy who's a dictator for how long has he been a dictator? 60 years?
Yeah.
You can't call that guy a bad motherfucker?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like.
Can you call Genghis Khan a bad motherfucker?
People,
you can, right?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a problem at all. You know why? Genghis Khan is dead.
Right.
Genghis Khan was alive. None of his victims
are alive.
Exactly.
As well. And also, there's not a huge Chinese contingent of Marlin fans. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah,
is that most of the fans of the Marlins are Cuban expats. Or not most, but a lot of the, like.
And they would agree with him. What he said wasn't out of line. He wasn't in support of Castro. He was acknowledging that this guy, you know, look when people talk about Al Capone, they don't speak in glowing terms.
Right.
But they go, dude, you know, the Al Capone stories of Chicago are pretty legendary.
Yeah.
Al Capone was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
He was obviously an evil person, you know, happy he's dead, all that good stuff.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like people like Michael Corleone.
Yeah. What the fuck?
But yeah, they like theoretically.
Tony Soprano was great.
Yeah.
I love
but they
Tony.
Don't like. But Darth that's the Vader. Thing I want. I think is interesting is how far
Darth Vader. He even killed Ewoks, but people think he's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
right.
King
Kong stepped on people.
He's a charming. He's an anti-hero. Fucking. Yeah. You want the greatest anti-hero of all time? Hannibal Lecter. Fucking ate people.
Right.
At the end of fucking. I'm having an old friend for dinner, and you're like. You fucking right you're going to have an old friend for dinner.
We're
that is my motherfucker right there.
He's the original Spider-Man.
Yeah. That fucking awful. But the question is how far. Like, so that speech is not protected. Because I actually tweeted, like, is he not protected by the First Amendment? And they were like, no, it only protects you from. Because I said, if you criticize Castro in Cuba, you get punished. And if you compliment him in America, you get punished. Which is like, so that's freedom, kind of. And people were saying, well, it's his First Amendment right. It's protected. The government, he can't get arrested for it. But if you sign a contract, your company can say whatever they want. But it's odd because, like, but if you got transgender surgery, they couldn't fire you or suspend you. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's shit that you can do that's protected. If you say
transgender surgery?
Whatever, if you did something crazy, I think there's like certain things are legal, the certain things are protected. If you went to like a if someone marched against Occupy Wall Street,
right,
for instance, they could get fired, I guess. By this logic, it's like if you say I like Castro,
yeah,
and then if you say I want to occupy Wall Street, you could get fired, and there's nothing you can do about it, which is just kind of feels odd.
Well,
to me.
Well, he didn't get fired; he got suspended.
Sorry, games. Yeah, but without pay, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think the idea is that he obviously has an enormous voice as opposed to a regular guy with a regular job, and that what he's saying is influential, and that they can't show support of it because it's, you know, it's.
Right, but what's the difference between that and LeBron and those guys putting their hood up and releasing that picture?
I think there's a big difference.
No, but what is it? Because I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I mean, one is in resistance to what they think is an injustice that was committed by a guy who's a bit sketchy.
Right.
And, you know, they want to make sure that someone's brought to justice. And the other one is a guy expressing his... You know, his
that guy's pretty wild. But I admire
I don't understand the connection.
I admire one aspect of that guy's personality is what they're saying. They're saying
they're just giving him his props. I don't even think they're admiring.
No, I'm saying I admire the part of him that has lasted this long.
Yeah,
that's the bad motherfucker part.
Yeah,
he's a pimp, he's a Don, he's whatever.
Managed to stay in control as a dictator so long. You know, it's amazing how long. When you hear about like a Kim Il Jong, that whatever his name was, Kim Jong Il, the guy who died.
Yeah,
and you think about how long that guy and what kind of damage that guy and his fucking regime has done to that poor country.
Yeah,
you're like, wow, it's amazing what someone can do. That actually can. You know, you watch Game of Thrones. You ever watch that?
I haven't watched it.
When you think about the idea of kings, you know, it's amazing that someone still to this day can rock it king style. You know, but there are guys like Castro's rocking it king style. You can call him whatever you want. That's the goddamn king of Cuba. You know, you look at Kim Jong-il. Right. That's the goddamn king of North Korea. I don't care what you want to call him. President, El Wonderful, El Greatness, you know, the Honorable, whatever you want
to
call him.
I guess my question to the LeBron
thing is... It's an alpha male.
His right. I get that, but I'm saying at what point would LeBron and the Heat get... Where does it cross the line to, like, we can suspend you?
Why would that ever make them be able to be suspended ever?
What if they said, I respect Castro? But
they didn't even say anything.
No, but
they're
saying...
taking a photo.
No, but I'm saying at what point does it become objectionable if you say you like...
Hitler.
...a dictator? Hitler, of course, is the obvious. Right. Everybody, that's the... when you like a dictator or you stand in support of... a kid that was wearing his hood. I'm not making a false equivalency. I'm just wondering, where does one become objectionable? If he had said, I think Castro.
There's so many people that are in support of the Trayvon Martin. What's his name?
Martin. Yeah.
Yeah. Trayvon Martin. And this George Zimmerman character that they just arrested today. There's so many people in support of an investigation into that. And there's so many people that felt like injustice had occurred and that kid had gotten killed and that it could have all been avoided. There were so many people that would... It's like... It becomes the court of public opinion.
Right, but that's the thing. It's almost the court of public opinion is like... We almost live in like a snitchocracy where it's like, ha! Like, the guy released a Kino video and then we're like... Literally, you could almost feel people's pleasure when that guy was jerking off on the sidewalk.
Yes.
We're like, fucking, we got another one. Yes. We fucked you up so badly with just scrutiny. I feel like the light has never been the hotter.
Right.
Like the cultural spotlight of like, we're all, and it becomes low hanging fruit to make fun of this guy, the Coney guy.
Right.
Of like, fucking, you didn't have your fucking back straight. And Coney should have done this 4 years ago.
Okay. Yes, But if you even have it in you somewhere that you might get to a point where you're running around naked, jerking off in the street, acting gay as fuck, I'd like to see that, please. Okay? And I'm happy when some pressure cooker situation outs some fucking crazy bitch. Because that's what that guy is. Because you can do that to me all right, day long. Unless you're dosing me up, I'm not running through the streets jerking off naked. That's never come up. There's never been a day where that's even been a concern. That guy's crazy as fuck.
You think it's
good?
You think it's like cultural vetting? Is like
that is most certainly he failed that he failed life's intelligence test 100%. He failed in several factors. He failed first of all by making this whole campaign, which was not quite informed or wasn't quite accurate with the facts of like where this guy was at the time and what had been done and what's being done right now. And then on top of it, there was a huge amount of money that wasn't going to the actual cause.
Like 75%,
some insane amount of money. Yeah. And then there was the other dude who was his partner, who was joking around about it, and they caught him on video joking around. There was so many things about it where it just screamed like a brilliant plan. They,
concocted a brilliant plan
to disguise a money-making venue, venture inside some sort of a charitable organization. That's what everybody got upset about.
Right. If it's a football field, I'm on the 40-yard line of thinking it was basically good. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, I thought it was more good than bad.
I think it certainly generated money that wouldn't have been generated without it.
Right, and awareness.
Towards that cause. Well, you know, it goes to where do you think it should be? Should it be a regulation thing, or should it be just a court of public opinion? It's like, I don't want to compare these two because they're two very different things, but in a sense, it's the same. Louis C.K. released a comedy special online for $5. Now, that means that no one can release a comedy special for $20. You can't do it online because Louis C.K., who's widely recognized as one of the very best, if not the best stand-up working today, he said $5 for his shit.
Right.
So that means it's $5 for your shit.
Right.
And that's how – I think that's a good way to establish it.
Right.
I think that's a good way.
And this is your way of saying that you're going to start charging for the Joe Rogan podcast.
No, I'm saying the court of public opinion with this guy looked at it and said – okay, we think it's a good cause to shine the light on someone who definitely did some terrible shit. So there's a lot of good in what you did. But why are you making so much money off that? That's what the court of public opinion has said about this guy. And that's where the scrutiny cracked him. And that's when he ran out naked.
I would venture that no one really gave a fuck about the kids to begin with. It was like a nice story. You just go, yeah, but meanwhile, there's homeless fucking kids outside my window. And I'm like, hey, look at
you should move.
They were invisible kids anyway.
Yeah, I think no one really cared. I don't think anyone really cared about the plight of the kids because there's plenty. I think it's like a story that you go, hey, did you hear the story? And then you get engaged.
So you think?
And then I think that people never really cared. And then I also think people never really cared that he was making money. I think there was a fringe of people that truly care about kids' rights and African issues and shit like that. And there's a sliver of people that care about transparency in fundraising operations. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is just like, where are we going now? Fuck him! Fuck this guy!
I honestly think that this is what happens. People care, but they have their own life to deal with. And that's where it really comes in. There's a lot of people that, yeah, I care about Africa. Of course I do. When I look at this idea that you see these children, you know, living in fucking dirt huts and they have no water. And
it's 2012. Most of the world is in awful shit.
It's terrible, of course.
A third of the world, straight up.
Anthony Bourdain did some show on Mozambique, you know, and he was traveling through Mozambique, and I'm watching the show. I'm like, this is crazy, man. They have no running water. They have no electricity. They have no nothing. They have, like, these grass shacks. You know, they're essentially living not much differently than people lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And they're getting by. I mean, they're having kids, and they're getting enough food to eat, and they're keeping the whole process going. But you're like, wow. It's amazing that in 2012 that's going on. I do care, but then you also have your own fucking life.
Oh, you care, but it's like what are you gonna do? What can I? It's such a massive problem.
I feel like everybody. I play footsies with Brian. I feel like everyone has something that they're compelled to do in this life. And I think that some people are compelled to charity, and I think those people should do charity. You know, I don't. I don't think it's a selfish thing to pursue your own goals entirely and to only try to be around and experience the things that you're actually enjoying in this life. I think there's people that are not compelled to do that, and they should be allowed to do that. They should be allowed to pursue charities.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
You should donate money, and I do. But I, you know, I can't get involved to the point where it eats my life up, because I think it would. It would easily. I could easily get my life eaten up by trying to, you know, help kids. If you helped a bunch of kids and you saw them, you know, get over something, certain illnesses, your famine, whatever. If you actually were there and
right.
experienced it with them and then kept going and then became friends with them and had
yeah.
some sort of relationship with those kids, Jesus Christ, it would completely consume your
right.
life. You'd be like, I got to help Africa. I got to
well,
get
that's
them
what
out
the,
of Africa.
The, Jason,
yeah.
what's his name? That's what the apparently the deal was.
Yeah, if you loved them, if they became like your little brothers and sisters.
And Clooney is like that with Sudan.
Oh, my God. Of course. Of course. I mean, the real issue is we need to get our own fucking politicians to do that.
What That's about, really what do you make of the pressure cooker, though? What do you make of the thing like until, like when Zimmerman was gone, I thought, oh, he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised Jerry Sandusky hasn't killed himself.
Jerry Sandusky's a horrible person.
Oh, he's a complete scumbag. There aren't these are bad examples. I think people that just get torn, like celebrities that get TMZ to the point where they
yes.
just attack camera people.
Well, there's certain
and you
that.
See them like they just can't take it anymore. Like,
yeah.
And I don't consider it vetting. I just consider it. It's like if the cultural metabolism is so out of control.
Yeah, I think there's certainly that. I think people are also so angry. They're looking for an enemy. You know, people are so angry at the economy. There's something like 40% of all kids that live between 18 and I think 34 of they're living with their parents. Children
yeah.
in their 30s.
Yeah.
They're living with their parents. 40%.
Yeah.
That's seems like heaven.
Jesus.
Brian's like, let me nap and make me cereal.
No, Mama, you clean my house. I just want to
clean
know,
my
just
house.
Take my dog for walks.
So silly, you live in America, you lucky bitch.
Yeah.
Mozambique. Go watch it. Watch it. You won't be such a whiny bitch. You'd be like, oh,
well, you're lucky.
High speed internet.
You're
yeah.
lucky because you got that shit. Like that dust as a grown adult, dusting and cleaning the toilet. It's so gross.
Mozambique, dude. Watch the episode.
What's
It'll be
that?
Good for you.
Mozambique.
You can learn a lot.
Watch the Anthony Bourdain show that we were just
oh,
talking
the guy,
about.
The one the guy that wears the thumb ring.
He used to. He tweeted about it. I tweeted him. And
Bourdain?
I said that he was the only guy that I've ever met with a thumb ring that I didn't want to strangle. But he said, I got rid of that shit a long time ago. And he wrote age limit for that shit in the hashtag.
What? Yeah, but doesn't he also have one of those like tribal things around his belly button? Or was that somebody else?
No, he doesn't have a thing around his belly
he
button.
He might.
He's got a
snake.
Might.
Who is that that has
No, he's
that?
Got a snake. Him and his wife
Anthony
both
Kiedis?
Have a snake on their arm. It might be him. Yeah. Tribal around. There's something about doing a tattoo around your belly button that makes
it's
me go,
so awful.
Hmm.
And having like one of those dangy piercings, see like the little dangling ones.
Men with
and
a dangly one. Has any guy ever pulled that off?
I don't know, but it'd be awesome.
Okay, here's my question.
Please.
The question is, guy like Ozzie Guillen, I think it's bad that he gets fined. I think it's ultimately bad for the country. I just wish people could. It's people are not corporate fucking spokespeople. Do you know what I mean? And
right.
that's the thing is, everyone's become that. We talked about the Tracy
yeah.
thing last time,
uh-huh.
and everyone's just in a constant state of anytime you tweet something, there's like, how the fuck can you say that?
Yeah.
You know, fuck. And it's
well,
like,
so yeah, well, we were, you know,
like, and I've and I, you strike me as the kind of guy that's never going to apologize for anything you say. I don't think.
Well, you know, I'll let people know what my intentions are. I'm not
right.
going to apologize, but if I like, I you know. I wasn't going to apologize to the people that were mad that I said the guy was a silly bitch for wearing ripped jeans.
Right.
Fake ripped jeans. That's some silly bitch shit. That's just what it is.
What were they, and what was their case?
So mad at me.
For what?
You're
like what?
Jealous. Oh, you, I guess your career is in the toilet. You need to get attention this way. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of they want to point out how your career is in the shitter,
yeah.
which is most. So I guess someone needs, meanwhile, I got more Twitter friends than him.
Hey.
Bitch. How about that?
Just call Joe Fat. That works the best.
Yeah, Fat is a good one. We were at the Comedy Store one night. Some
yeah.
chick was on camera. We caught it on camera. Chick wouldn't stop calling me fat.
And he
like,
pulls
what are you
up
talking
like
about?
Six pack. He pulls up his shirt.
That hurts. That hurts though because you think about Chappelle used to call me fat boy, jokingly.
That's preposterous.
No, I know, but it was next to him. I technically was had
oh,
fat.
He was
and like lean. So it, and it gets you a little crazy. Yeah. Fat is a big one for me.
Well, this was a girl that was trying to make me feel bad, and I was like, this doesn't even make sense.
You owned her so hard.
It was hilarious. It was like a scene in a movie, it was a douchey movie.
You were the villain?
You're not supposed to pull out your six pack. There's right. something about showing someone your abs always.
Did she stand down or no?
She got rocked.
She just, yeah, turned into jello.
What do you guys, just like, what did she say?
Yeah.
Well, the kid's shredded.
You're so come on, fat! Man.
Her
what
voice.
What did she say?
The yeah, but do you want, I don't want people to turn into, not everyone's running for office.
Just put out good shit, man.
I agree. But then if you want to make fun of a guy's pants.
Yeah, but I was saying that's the only bad thing that I ever get back. I get that. Most of the time, it's all positive. You put out good shit, and you get good shit back. You put out good energy, you get it back. That's
but
that's
what do you? Real. I just think it's like, you know, Maher gets fired retards. For. I mean, he got fired 10 years ago, but
who?
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. Oh
for,
yeah.
And even the Rush Limbaugh thing. Like Rush Limbaugh's a piece of shit, as far as I'm concerned. So I just don't listen to him. But I and losing advertisers, I get. I guess it's just.
If you don't know the Rush Limbaugh story, there was a girl who was trying to get the government, the state, whoever the fuck pays that insurance that she was getting.
It was Georgetown University.
Okay. She wanted them to pay for her birth control.
Right.
And Rush Limbaugh
had argued, part of her health care.
As part of her health care. And Rush Limbaugh had argued that if our tax dollars were going to go to it, then we should be able to watch you have sex.
That was and you have so much sex.
Yeah, like
then
we should be able to watch. That should be you know, basically she's a prostitute. You know? Like you're having sex for money.
Wait, doesn't
like,
he do bath salts? I mean, he's a big drug guy, right?
Well, like, he was doing mad oxys.
Yeah,
to the point where he went deaf. Alex Jones described to me the process of OxyContin overdose that actually makes guys go deaf. Because do you remember when Rush went deaf?
No, I mean, I remember when he was big into Oxy, but...
He went deaf. He went to the point where his show suffered because he couldn't hear what people were saying to him sometimes, and he couldn't understand it. He couldn't hear his own voice, so it didn't sound right. It sounded off, and it went for a long time before he got an operation, and then he got it fixed, and they did something. I think they gave him an inner ear plant. I think he's got an implant
that
helps just him from, hear.
Just yeah. from...
Just from Oxy's going deep, son.
That's great.
They said he was up to over 90 a day.
God damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 90 fucking pills a day, homeboy was cranking.
No orphan.
I wish I had that sort of
housekeeper to get him and shit. He was getting all kinds of different doctors to hook him up. You know, it gets me. It gets
you now. Have you done shit like that?
No. I'm sure it would get you though. I have no doubt in my mind that OxyContin would get me. I think they get everybody. I mean, I think I would be strong and I would get off them. But I definitely think that if I was hanging around with a bottle of them and a swollen foot, and I took one, and also I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then you get hooked really quick.
Nobody has anything really bad to say about it other than the addiction. Like
experience?
Yeah.
I've heard someone say it made them really nauseous, but that's what heroin does to a lot of people.
Right.
It makes them really nauseous. That's the only thing, but they say it feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's fucking
hard. I feel like I get hooked on Coke or Speed.
I've never even tried Coke or Speed.
Me neither. I've barely seen it. I've maybe seen it a dozen times.
Bro,
that's probably
Brian,
too many.
Whoa, I just remembered, dude.
Six
times? I had a crazy-ass dream about you, buddy.
Whoa.
That's not real Coke, ladies and gentlemen. That's powdered sugar. We didn't have sugar for coffee, but I had powdered sugar, which doesn't really work.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it did anything. Like
it never it never goes down.
Yeah, it's funky.
Yeah.
I had a fucked up dream about you, dude.
Sweet, what is it?
You were doing marijuana mixed with meth. And you were telling me that it's the latest thing these kids do. They smoke marijuana and meth together. I was like, what are you talking about? And you were like, well, I would never smoke meth by itself.
Mead, yeah.
Yeah, you were like, I would never smoke meth by itself. But when I mix them together, dude, it's amazing. And I was like trying to get you to stop smoking meth.
Wow.
You were hooked on meth. Would you say mead?
Mead, yeah.
Is that what it would be called?
Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
No. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I mean, that might actually be what it is. Could you imagine if I started something?
I don't think meth and weed. I think meth would completely overpower it.
I would imagine. I mean, wouldn't it be funny though if like somehow or another marijuana became a white knight in your brain, fighting off the meth consciousness, and you see a fucking virtual battle of the positive and negative substances duking it out in your head? Yeah, because if you take like meth with mushrooms, how does that work?
I don't know. You know what's funny is I had an ex that did. She was a meth addict before we dated, and she's all that stuff. She's like, my teeth were great. She goes, my skin never looked better. Wow. Like, it wasn't bad.
Well, she hadn't gotten that deep yet.
Yeah.
It takes a while before your body turns into a fucking prune.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while.
So, although some people doesn't. Yeah. Some people just fucking, they turn and it's like, that'll do it.
She was a functional meth head?
Vague. I didn't know her. I think vague. Not especially. Here's an irony. She lived, you know how you always hear about Indians living off of casinos?
Mm-hmm.
She lived off of a casino.
Wow.
She was Native American, Seminole. She lives off the Hard Rock in the one that Anna Nicole died in.
Holy shit.
The one in Fort Lauderdale.
Did you ever play like cowboy and Indian with her?
We would get in some pretty
pretend that
serious. I conquered her land. I moved into her place.
Did you?
gave her a blanket with smallpox on it.
Nice.
No, we never. It was actually a good relationship. We were in love, Joe.
What happened?
She started going to
black clubs.
She started getting her master's in psychology. She started getting her master's in psychology, and at the beginning of the class, the teacher was like, "Yo, just so you know, none of your relationships are gonna last."
Wow.
And she said that, and she was like, "Somebody else broke up today. Somebody else broke up today." And then slowly but surely, it was like
six months
in, we were kind of done.
What?
Because she was just uncovering stuff about herself. And like, I didn't, you know, she liked women, she hates men, like, just stuff that was like, oh.
She likes women and she hates men.
She wanted to date women.
Oh, shit.
By herself. And because I asked if we could do it together.
Bam.
She wanted to date women, and she's like, I fucking hate men.
Oh, that's
why. No, it's stuck.
All of us.
For now. But
that's a mess. Anybody who says they hate women's a cunt. If you're a guy and you're like, oh, I hate women. Well, get the fuck away from me, you crazy bitch. You hate everyone of a certain gender? Well, guess what? Same thing if you hate men. Go fuck yourself, you dumb bitch. You think I asked to be born a man? You know? Just relax.
You would have.
Not everyone's an ass.
You would have been asked.
For sure. Being a man's way better. Especially being a manly man.
Yeah, listen, I mean, to be a real Joe Rogan type man.
You can't get mad at someone for their gender, you silly asshole.
That's
and it's accepted. Women are allowed to say she had a case. Like, oh, I've had conversations with women before that have said, you know, men this and men that. And I'm like, God damn, can you give me a chance?
Yeah.
I'm a person. You know, everyone's just a person. You throwing me into half the planet.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. And to say that you've got it figured out.
Yeah, she didn't mean like she hates all men everywhere. She just...
You could live...
It's like, I have deep-seated mistrust of men.
You could live in an intimate relationship.
I meaning like, I haven't had any positive... She hadn't had any positive male deep relationships.
Well, you know, how fucking old was she? And how many people had she been around?
She's 47 years young. No, she was, I don't know, 20.
Even if she was 47 years
old.
No,
she's 26.
She could have been stuck in some stupid 27? Spots.
She was in a lot of bad spots.
Yeah.
Therapy's pretty fucked up anyway. This girl, I did it in college, same thing. She was a fucking mess, like alcoholic, just crazy, always getting in fights with her family and all these other people. And then she went to the therapist, and every time she would come back, she goes like, the therapist tells me we need to break up, that you're just a really bad person. And I'm like, what?
He's probably full of shit. He probably tells a really distorted, but that's not using therapy the right way, stupid asshole.
Or you're a bad person.
You could live
right?
You could live 1,000 lives as a man and still not understand what it would be to live a life of a woman. You don't understand it. You're not a woman. And as soon as a guy understands that and accepts that, he'll be way happier. When you try to make a woman think like a man, that shit is impossible. The same as a man trying to think like a woman. It's
fucking and I think both impossible. Are guilty. I actually think women are slightly more guilty of trying to get men to think like women.
Yes. Well, if they have pussy and there's more power
they
in
can,
that.
Yeah, they can just go like, you need to change the way. Whereas if a guy does that, he's like a dick.
Yeah.
And whenever a guy is in a good a relationship that I admire, the girl's friends hate him.
Right.
Like, where it's like, because he's such control. A fucking asshole.
He's
and
happy.
He gets to do what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's, he has, I used to say to girls, you're making me feel like a guest in my own life. Where and that would get them where they were like, I understand what you mean now,
because
it was like, yo, I wasn't looking for a coach.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking for like someone. I need someone to come in and fucking change my taste and change my interests and change my wardrobe and my diet and just like. But they do. I think some women think that that's like a way to go.
Well, I think there's also a struggle for power that goes on with people in relationships. Everyone, you know, thinks they should be the one that decides where we go and what to do, and some people take that shit more serious than others. And some people are just not very intelligent or emotionally developed. And so they run on crude tracks, and they just fucking bang into each other every time they have a relationship. These cars just slam into each other, and they argue about shit, and then they make up. And that's how those stupid fucks live their life.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that.
I think, what percentage of people do you think are stupid?
It's a giant number. Because I'm in it. And, 75. You know, I mean, I always, look, I had a whole bit that I used to do about how people like to think they're smart. But really, we're just buying shit from smart people and memorizing shit that smart people have already figured out. There's this gigantic body of knowledge. And anybody who thinks they're smart is dumb as fuck.
Well, that's what I was, this I had this argument the other day about, ridiculous. Don't you want to live forever? To learn everything? I do.
Who knows? You say that, but what if after this is way better? You know,
it won't. There is no after this.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Yeah. I don't.
You're talking nonsense.
I get a feeling.
You're talking complete nonsense.
I get a sense.
With just sense based on what?
There was nothing. It's going back to where I was, which is before 73.
I don't think any of it ends. I think it changes. I think it all becomes something completely different, and energy never dies off. It just moves on to another state. And I think that the whole cycle of the universe, we want to think of it as like there was a birth to the universe and there's going to be an end to the universe. You know, that's why they think of the Big Bang. You know, there was at one point in time, it was smaller than the head of a pin, and there was a giant burst. I think it's never-ending, and I think that our ideas of it are all based on our own biological limitations. And I think the biological life is a trip. I think it's an experience. I think the biological life doesn't necessarily represent what is possible in reality. And I think it's one stage of existence. And I think we probably had other stages of existence. I think our real true consciousness, it gets wrapped around language, and it gets wrapped around culture, and it gets wrapped around personal experiences and how they interpret them and how they remember shit that other people have figured out and written down. But at the end and the root of that, that could take place in 100,000 million different forms. It doesn't have to exist as a human animal making noise with your mouth. That consciousness could exist in other dimensions. That consciousness, whatever the fuck it is that's at the underlying, the underlying energy that makes the body move in certain directions and choose to manipulate objects, whatever the fuck that is at the root of all that, could exist as a dolphin, could exist as a killer whale, could exist as a, you know, some really smart octopus. Who the fuck knows? I think for sure what we are right now is an evolving species. It's changing. It's becoming something different.
Look, man, I hope you're right. I hope, because I am going to die.
Yes.
I just hope there's an afterparty.
I think we're becoming something different, and along the way, I think whatever the fuck it is that the human race is going to eventually evolve into, I think we're on some sort of a crazy cycle. That's what I think. I think we're on some sort of an infinite loop cycle. And I think our limited interpretation of like people dropping off the face of the earth and disappearing and leaving our lives leads us to believe that this is it. This is this one thing, and this is it. You breathe, and one day your heart will stop beating, and then it ends. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you're a fucking caterpillar that's gonna become a butterfly. A
raindrop.
Maybe you're some weird fucking animal that travels dimension to dimension in completely different forms. We've seen that happen in physical state in life. We've seen caterpillars and salamanders and all these fucking different things become a completely different thing. We've seen them physically metamorph and change. Why would we assume that consciousness couldn't do exactly the same thing? Why wouldn't we assume that reality can't do exactly the same thing? I think it's super possible that we're some crazy technological caterpillar and that we're going to one day press some
like I said,
fucking
man.
Button.
I hope you're right.
And all of our experiences of life and death and love and infatuation and fascination and appreciation and all those different things are really just – it's just more motivation for you to keep moving forward and forward and forward to push this technological machine that society runs on. The real underpinnings, what's really impacting the universe. It's not People Magazine and Kim Kardashian's ass, but that is there to distract you long enough to keep buying the new droids, and the more technology we create and the more minerals we mine and the more we push the boundaries of what we can do and control in the universe, the more we get closer to whatever the fuck we're becoming, completely locked into an addiction with our cell phones and our computers. If I'm online, if I'm like in a hotel and the internet goes out for an hour, I fucking panic.
Yeah.
It's hell.
I started doing a joke the other day about how my phone has completely turned me into a dick. I'm a fucking asshole. Like,
I mean, as far as like being rude in conversations.
Just fucking like, yeah. Fuck you, companion. I got everyone else in front of me, and I'd rather spend time with them. I have enough girls' pictures on my phone, I was telling Red Band, that I could publish 2 months of a magazine.
Girls like send you pictures?
Yeah.
Wow, yes. Because they know you're single?
Yeah. Girl, I mean, that's not just like out of nowhere. It's like girls I'm chatting to. And it's over years. But I'm saying like if I told somebody if my phone turned up in the 1800s in a town, the town elders would burn the town down. Because they'd be so freaked out by just the amount of filth on my phone. And that's the thing. It's like you do get hooked. I wanted to bring up. I went to the flotation. I went to Float Labs.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Meet Crash?
I did. Yeah, I met Crash.
Crash is an interesting individual, isn't he?
Yeah. I went 9 days ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it was pretty great. That's what made me, my epiphany, and I'm sure you don't get epiphanies every time, but my epiphany laying there was like, I need to experience some love, and I got to get a dog to do that.
Why do you say a dog?
Because I find...
work your way up to a person?
Yes, literally, that's the plan.
Wow.
Is like, work my way up.
How fucked up are you?
Out
of 1 to 10?
10 being...
10 being like, you're unfixable.
Oh, I don't think I'm unfixable. I think I'm like a 6.5,
6 7. And a half.
Yeah.
Wow, that's still strong.
So oh, yeah.
7 is strong. Wow. I'm going to start my love experiences with dogs.
No, it sounds crazy, but I'm only 37, yeah. So, you know.
You can still pull it together. You can still
it's not too late.
Come from behind champ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's possible.
I've been lapped by life, and I'm going to lap it.
Randy Couture didn't have his first fight until he was 34, so think about that.
Do you want to borrow a Pekingese?
No, but I feel like that could. I feel like it could help.
You can totally borrow mine.
Brian's got the most loving dog in the world. You could try it. You could borrow it for a little while.
How big is it?
Tiny.
This big?
I don't like those little dogs. They all the shivering and the.
Oh, it doesn't do that.
It doesn't do that.
They seem freaked out.
It's
all
not
the time.
A freaked out dog. Yeah. It's super
it's like
loving.
A guard dog.
It's not scared of you at all. It's not scared of you at all. It's like it's super affectionate.
Go look at it. As,
like, it's not like a dog. It's like, holy shit, a person's here.
Do you want to make a documentary about it?
Nobody's mean to
my
this
love
dog.
Experience with the dog.
Go look at her Twitter. It's Twixie Vixen.
Yeah, it's a sweet. It's a sweet dog.
Really,
one of the nicest dogs on the face of the earth.
But you were never in love. What was it? You weren't in love till you met your wife, right?
I don't really like to talk about that on the air, sir.
All right, fair enough.
There's been a few loves lost along the way.
Got it.
I don't want to bring up any personal experiences that involve other people that I'm still friends with.
Yeah.
But, look, yeah, I've been in love. But the real reality of life, though, is you have to get your own shit together before you're capable of having any sort of a relationship. Because relationships will eventually expose who you really are.
That I agree with. Yeah. You want to talk about vetting.
Yeah.
You
don't deserve someone who's got their shit together if you don't have your shit together. And that's why it always falls apart. That's why you wind up treating them like shit. You don't deserve them. You know, you have to come to a state as a human being where all your experiences that you give to this other person are all like as nice as possible. You're always as complimentary as possible, as friendly as possible, as affectionate as possible. And as soon as you get out of that state, as soon as the only way you can get there is you gotta really be happy with who the fuck you are. Because if you're not happy with who you are and what you're doing and how you feel about yourself, and then you start attaching your happiness to this one person, like the only time I feel good is when I'm around you, which is crazy. Like, bitch, get your own shit together first. You can't just be entirely dependent upon one person for your own happiness.
Right.
And the only way you can truly be happy in a relationship, I feel like, is if two people can be independent of each other, still enjoy each other's company.
And it's I had a therapist once explained, it's like concentric circles. Yeah. Like, in the middle is the relationship, where you overlap.
Yeah. But you got to also be nice to each other.
And that's the thing I learned. Yeah, that's the thing I learned. Because I'm from, like, I'm the youngest of 10.
Oh, Jesus.
And so it's like...
Nobody paid attention to you at all.
I mean, yes and no. Like, certain ones, like, older brothers and sisters did, but 10 kids is too many. My mother admitted it.
Wow.
And she also admitted that our father didn't love us at all.
Oh, wow. That's...
Okay. But sounds awful. Sounds awful. Is awful. But... When I heard that, I was like, thank you. I fucking knew it. You know what I mean?
You knew he didn't love you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Knew it.
What a dick.
So
what does he do?
Fucks bitches.
He started another family. He's 80. He's old. So he's just hanging out.
You should go fuck. Do you ever
talk
to him?
We talk sparingly. Talk to him. Here's a good example. At my brother-in-law's funeral, which was in July, my nephew, my dad sort of infirmed, and my nephew was like trying to help him down the stairs. My dad goes, "Don't touch me." And then he walks some more down the steps and he goes, "If I fall, it's going to be your fault." It's just like a crazy guy.
Oh, wow.
Like a crazy, angry Irish dude.
Oh,
So what I found is that you kind of need to, I just feel like I need to rebuild all that shit. Like, and what I found was, all right, so this is what I was getting at. I was seeing a girl who had to go to the hospital for some, like, infection thing.
Pussy infection?
Come on, man. Yeah. You talk about love, and then I'll talk about pussy infection.
Well, you said infection thing. I mean, give me a...
I haven't denied that it was a pussy thing.
Okay.
Colon? So she's in the hospital, and I was like... But at this point, we kind of weren't seeing each other anymore, and she was like, I'm at the hospital by myself. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go. It was like 2:30 in the morning on like a Sunday. I was like, let me just go... I made a concerted effort to show this person love.
Right.
And what I found was I felt really good about it. Meaning it made me fucking feel good to love somebody, but it's so not my natural disposition.
Well, you probably grew up with a bunch of defense mechanisms.
Yeah, know? I am a walking defense mechanism. That's what Chappelle once described me as, just walking through life, just... keeping everyone at a distance, which I think is a fair description.
Yeah, I think, man, I think we all, every human that I know has been in that state at least at one point in their life, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to get burned. You know, if you get burned, there's no fucking handbook on how to drive relationships. So you essentially just get out there and you fucking put the pedal to the metal and you crash right into the fucking trees.
Right.
You don't know how to drive. You don't know what you're doing. When you see people and they're dating and they get together and then 3 days later they're with each other 24 hours a day.
Yeah, this is not good.
They go to the store to buy clothes and they just fuck all day. Like, what are you guys really running from? What's going on here? This is what they did. They hit the fucking pedal to the metal.
Right.
They
don't know how to drive that car. Let's get away from where we were.
Yeah. That's not the fastest way around the racetrack, you know? The fastest way around the racetrack is you take every turn with precision, you watch what the fuck you're doing, and you don't go too fast.
But again, people don't know what that is. Because I actually have the opposite thing where I take everything with precision to a fault, where I'm very like, no, I have boundaries, and you will not sleep over. And I will not... I mean, like, that's an exaggeration, but I had...
That sounds like a lot of fun. I wonder why you're having a problem with chicks.
Really, it was pretty great.
Sounds like a great guy.
If that Indian's listening. no, that was the thing. It's
what
like,
if she is, man? What if the show makes a love connection?
She'd think it's fun. But that's the thing is I was very... Because I had... I didn't understand boundaries, so I would do the pedal to the metal thing.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, I got to do the opposite of that. So I'd be very cautious. And
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the pedal to the metal thing.
For a second.
Sometimes it turns out great. Who knows? Sometimes it turns out great. But
do you honestly know when it's turned out great? Do you know anyone where they just fucked for months and it was just fucking just a physical thing?
Yeah, I know a few. Look, man, sometimes it works. I know people that are super happy together. I know a few. You got to get lucky, man.
Well, that's the other thing. You got to fucking get so lucky.
But you also got to be worthy of that luck. You know, you got to have your own shit together to the point where you're fun to be around, that you're a nice person. You actually, you contribute to the relationship.
Right.
It's not like you're sucking off of someone. Have you ever had a girl that you dated that wouldn't stop fucking complaining about everything, no matter what.
Yeah.
I dated a girl. It was madness.
Yeah.
It's like, God, this traffic. Are you driving slow on purpose? What is going on? This car smells. I smell something.
Yeah.
Who is this song? Who wrote these lyrics?
Yeah.
God, there's nothing on this radio.
I think that's a sign of stupidity. I would say that dumb people are constantly talking about physical sensations.
It's a little bit of that.
My neck hurts.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. Is your hand cold? Oh, this fucking smells in the air.
But it's also a pattern. You get stuck in a negative pattern. One of the most, in my past, historic girls of negativity was, she was a smart girl.
She was?
Her whole family was negative. They're just cunts.
Yeah.
Just fucking snapping at each other. Everybody just like, look at you over there with your thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I can't be around that.
No, you can't do that to me.
Because the other thing I always try to explain to people, it's like, do you think I can't go negative?
Yeah.
I'm a fucking comic. Yeah. I can just fucking.
How dare you?
Tell me to turn it on and I'll do it. Look, I just don't want to do. I don't want to be like that.
You just threatened her with your intellect. See how he does that? How he rocks it?
I threaten way more guys. I threaten way more guys with it. Whenever
guys with it?
Yeah. Whenever guys are like,
why would you threaten? What happened?
Because when guys are ball busters, right. I go, look, man, you can keep busting my balls. And I know you think it's like jovial and jocular and all that shit.
Right.
But I'm telling you, once I go negative, it's not going to be cute. And it's going to be fucking withering. And I'll be relentless about it. So just stop now. Because I think guys think that's a way to communicate. And it's like, I don't communicate that way.
Like, what kind of guys what are they doing to you?
Joe. What are they doing to me? They're just going like, nice. Like, even that like stand-up thing of like, nice fucking shirt, fag, dude. Like, just, and it's like, or what is he, fucking sweatshirt? Just.
Oh, when you walk on stage?
No. If you go to the comedy club and like comics will, and it's, you're not even wearing anything egregious. You're not wearing cut pants in front of a jet.
Right.
You're not committing the gravest sin on earth, which is wearing cut pants in front of a jet.
That is egregious.
Dumb, and I'll just go like, look, man, stop. Like, just stop.
You warn them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm a big warner. Because whenever people like slam me, it's like, do you think I can't fucking slam? I can slam the president in a fucking clever way. You think I can't slam you?
Hmm.
You piece of shit.
Well, there's a lot of people that just like to play.
I think it's founded in negativity. I don't think anyone means anything. It's like I've said, like, how much money, when people go, Joe, you set for life? They're not rooting for you to be set for life.
That's with that semi-aggressive.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. It's like that's no one wants that for you. They want to go, fuck you. You fucking blew your money, bro. If I were you, I totally. And if you are set for life, then they're like, this cocksucker Joe Rogan.
You have nice eyelashes.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you very much.
Is that what you like?
I do have long eyelashes.
I just noticed that he has really prominent eyelashes.
Thanks a lot, man.
I like him.
He gets me. So I'm going to go positive on you if you're not careful.
Yeah, if you're not careful, dude, he'll just fucking...
I'm going to compliment the fuck out of you. You look like a skinny George Zimmerman. How about that?
Skinny. So what do you think about this thing now that they grabbed the Zimmerman dude? Do you think it's going to calm everybody down?
I think
they had to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they
too much controversy.
I don't think they're going to bring a trial somebody. Because people want one. I think the woman, the prosecutor, was like, looked at the. I think the local PD was awful. Mm-hmm. I think they were shitty. Even the way they walked him in, where they walked him in like he was a cop. Like, hey, you want to go ahead? One of them walks around him so that he's behind all of the cops. It's like, is that how you treat suspects? Is you fucking just walk them in? They're not pushing them. They're not, like, steering them. They're just
what if
like,
he fucking Jason Statham to all those motherfuckers? Choke one guy, it's grab fucking, the gun. Kills all of them. It's all on tape. That'd be fucking
You don't know that he's not wild. The transporter.
Remember transporter?
I always thought you should have movies like that.
Yeah. I don't want to do those. You said that last time.
Yeah,
Killed a meeting once. I had a meeting with these people about a martial arts type thing. And I said, I don't want to do anything that looks ridiculous.
Right.
I go, I would never fight a retard wagon train where there's 10 dudes.
Kick
all their asses.
Because everybody waits. That was your observation. Was really funny.
That's crazy. Conflicted with Zookeeper. the scheduling conflict.
Zookeeper was fun. I'll do a kids movie in a heartbeat before I'll do like a martial arts movie, man. I would not want to do a movie where I run.
You made the observation that when you're in those movies, they don't work because everyone waits to fight. There'll be eight dudes, and they'll wait one at a time to get their ass beat.
That's ridiculous.
Instead of just all jumping dudes at once.
Go to World Star Hip Hop, okay? You want to find out how people really fight?
Yeah.
Go to worldstarhiphop.com, and there you'll see a lot of evidence how people fight. This is what happens. You get punched in the face, you go unconscious, your head bounces off the concrete, and people proceed to kick you, and then they take your clothes off.
Yeah.
That's a real fight, stupid.
Yeah.
All right? That's what people should see. This nonsense about one guy wading into a crowd of folks and just fucking annihilating everyone in his path.
People respect the stance. If you're in a stance, people are like, hey, one at a time.
Patrick Swayze eyebrow cut where it just dribbles a little bit by the face.
Was it the last Ice House Chronicles that we were talking about this where like the worst is when they get knocked out and then they're still punching and kicking them like horrific. On the street. You just see like a ragdoll head.
Horrific, man.
Oh, the like actual street fight.
Did you see the
I saw the Baltimore
just a couple
one,
yeah.
I couldn't. I watched a little bit of it.
It's horrible. This
just the noise his head made when it hit the concrete. It's just like, nope.
Yeah.
But it was hollow because his mouth was open a little bit. It sounded like a pumpkin.
He got he got hit by the world. It's like, that's what it's like. It's like hitting the world at 20 miles an hour. This is ridiculous.
Have you ever broken up something like that?
No.
Yeah, I'd like to think I would, but there's a part of me that's like, I think I would just go like,
you
gotta
be very careful. You could get jumped and taken right into that. The first, most important thing is if there's not a lot of people, the most important thing is to get the fuck out of here and call the police. That's what the most important thing is. If you want to jump in, how many people are there? 10, 15 people? You don't think someone's going to sucker punch you too? They just sucker punch this dude and put him out. Are you ready to go scrap with 10 people? How confident are you, stupid? You know, I mean, if you get in there and try to save, you know, say, hey, listen, this is fucking crazy. Leave them alone. I mean, you got to gauge the situation, gauge how they respond to it. You better be ready to run for your fucking life.
Right.
That's some real shit. You know, the people that are good people have to understand that there's not, the whole world is not populated by good people.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that are motherfuckers, and they'll do crazy shit to you.
Well, it's also interesting how quickly it just becomes like, and a mob.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking something in the brain just goes
especially
mob.
Especially if you're white and they're black, and in that situation, that was clearly, they cracked that dude, and then you hear them deciding all together to just rob him and take his shit.
Right.
And if you try jumping into that, man, you're with that guy. You're going to be with that guy, even if you just protest what they're doing. It's not like you're protesting.
What if I say, look, guys, I co-created Chappelle's Show. Let's be reasonable about this.
Yeah.
I have some DVDs not on me, but I can get, if you all give me your mailing address.
They just start fucking you.
Yeah, right, I mean, that's... But
down, start fucking
actually
you
fucking you.
Yeah, actually fucking you. They'd be like, listen, we got to take this opportunity to fuck.
But that's the, you know what's funny is that's the interesting thing about the same part of people that just goes and mob is the same part of people that go and comedy club laughing. It's the same to me. It's the same mechanism.
What?
It's the same. It's just your brain decides we're laughing and that's funny and I'm gonna attack. I think it's the limbic system. I think. And you just go, and go.
Yeah, but laughter.
I don't
is
know.
Sort of
I don't. Again, I understand.
That's based on just going straight, wild, crazy.
But you know what I mean about when if you
human.
Do a joke that, and someone in the crowd is, you have like a pocket of dissenters. They make the show worse for everyone around them.
Right, right.
And they don't do anything.
Right.
They're just, they have energy. I just think it's like some human energy shit. I think it's like some animalistic human
energy. Well, you definitely
shit.
Get that in live audiences, man. We've all experienced that where someone is sitting in the front and they're looking at you funny and they cross their arms and you'll even say them like seeing they're shaking their head like this guy's not funny. I've seen that. People will do that to like fuck with you. It's like the people that would stand in front of you if you were playing pool and they stand in front of your shot and like make faces and try to shark you. That's exactly what they would do at a comedy club. Like when you go, you watch basketball and dudes are in front of the net and they're doing that thing. The guys do that all the time. There's people that are always going to want to see if they can fuck with you. Especially if
you know, I think it's also people that haven't been to comedy clubs many times because I think a lot of people go to comedy clubs like, all right, you better make me laugh because I pay money. You know, like it's kind of like
I also think it's just that Billy Wilder, the director, said that audience members are individually they're idiots, but together they're a genius, meaning the collective unconscious thing. Like if I do a joke where I say, I'm vegan. It's easy to be vegan in LA, but the rest of the country might as well walk up to people and go, hey, where do faggots eat? Okay. Simple joke, funny, basically a knock-knock joke about... Now, I'm not being homophobic. I'm not doing anything. Most of the time, they're laughing before they can go, hey, wait a minute. That's kind of... He said faggot. That's kind of homophobic. How do I feel about that? And that's... All of comedy is kind of like that. And it's... And I believe it's the same thing with a lynch mob, where it's just like... And we're a mob before they go, maybe a guy that we just punched out, maybe we don't take his pants. Like, they're just doing it.
I don't think that was the case. I think he was around a bunch of criminals.
Oh, you think so?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, okay. I think there's a shitload of criminals in Baltimore. Crime in Baltimore is through the fucking
roof. Oh, yeah, yeah, I agree. But that's
that was a drunk guy who was out with a bunch of criminals. And they decided to beat the fuck out of him and steal shit from him. And that wasn't the first time they beat the fuck out of somebody. That was wasn't the first time they stole shit from people. Right. That's what that was. I don't think it's anything but that. It's real simple.
I think maybe two of them were criminals and eight of them were
Come on, man. We got dark pockets of humanity. And that guy was strolling drunk through a dark pocket of humanity and they fucked him up.
What I would say is there's dark pockets in every single human.
Yes, it's possible, but you have to have the certain combination of neglect and abuse as a child and abuse by your environment and abuse by your... You have to have a certain amount of disconnect with the idea of community and brothership and fellowship and love. You have to have enough fucked up shit in your life that you don't go the natural way. Humans that are raised with love and humans that are raised, you know, in a good community, that's what they try to appreciate and cultivate. And when you're not and you lash out, I mean, it's almost always because somebody did a fucking terrible job of raising some kid.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been some Absolutely. Other place where everybody around was terrible for kids. And these toxic cesspools, occasionally they shit out excellence, you know, and someone would try so hard to get away from it that they become this, you know, mega mogul type right. character or, you know, some super rapper dude. I mean, or a fighter or an athlete or something like that. But I mean, essentially, it's a dark, horrible pocket of humanity where anything right. can go wrong. And that's one of the main, if you want to cry racism in this country, the real reality, that's some of the most racist shit, I think.
The system?
When you see a problem area like that, and you just dismiss it as a bunch of lazy people,
right.
you're dismissing babies, man.
Yeah.
You're dismissing them. That is clearly, in a way, if it's either dishonest or it's racist. It's one or right. the other. Because you're ignoring the fact that these bundles of potential human right. beings are being brought into this fucked up situation. Instead, you want to concentrate on some minerals on the other side of the world or some Taliban right. dudes that may or may not even right. exist. You know, I mean, how many of them are there really? Are you sure?
There's 300 of them.
Isn't there just a bunch of fucking people where you're in their yard
and they have a lot. But them? Joe, they have over 200 horses.
Well, and they how many spears?
10 pickup trucks.
How many spears do they have?
They've eight. At last count, they have eight spears.
Fuck, man. And just think about all the potential that could be saved if we put the resources that we're putting into going to these other countries with giant fucked
well,
up
Well, that's
machines,
the thing. Yeah, it's like Bill Gates ending malaria.
We took that money and took all those people and hired them instead of giving them jobs as soldiers, give them jobs as community rebuilders. Provide the same kind of jobs that could be available to a million soldiers could easily be better spent in this country to having community builders. Have a million fucking people that you send throughout the terrible spots in this country and they rebuild the infrastructure of community centers. They set up after school things for kids and mentoring for kids. They get kids around people who can be good role models and they teach them better than they're getting in these fucked up schools where you might as well be going to prison.
Do you believe in the idea of like welfare queens, meaning women that live babies? But to me it's such a small amount.
There's a spectrum of humanity, man.
Yeah, I agree, but it's a small amount. But I think that that's how people that are against what you're saying would
Here's the problem with that.
People that are
babies don't deserve to be fucked over. That's the real right. problem is that we are not taking into account the babies. We're putting one of the most difficult tasks in the world and we're taking someone who can't even take care of themselves and we're helping them take care of themselves so that they can keep raising this baby in the most fucked up way possible.
Right.
when really what we should do is try to educate them and try to come in and help them and try to figure out what the fuck can be done to put this person in some sort of a positive state. So just somehow or another, you can raise this baby, right? That person's done. That person's, yeah, she's 45 and she's been on welfare her whole life and she's addicted to crack. She's done. You try and help her if you want, but you can save that baby.
Well, that's why I told somebody that in some ways it's like, do you want, I almost see welfare as like, a buyout of people. Like, you're going to be a terrible CVS employee, so you're going to be a drag on the economy. We're going to buy you out. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay you to stay home, basically. Right. And just make $240 a week, and we'll give you milk and sugar and all the shit you need to eat. But we don't. You're not good for the economy. You're just bad.
It's a mess.
But I also think that another thing that when people generally on the right say that there's all these welfare queens and stuff, it's like, you know, and they got so many babies, you know what would help them not have babies? Birth control. If you gave them some fucking birth control.
Yeah, but even if you do that, there's going to be some people that have babies.
No, I'm not saying nobody's going to have babies, but you had the baby, now you got to do it. It's like, yeah, but if you gave her rubbers or if you gave her the pill, you'd have less babies.
Well, we have to figure out a way to make our community somehow or another, our existence here, at least in this country. I mean, we can't control the whole world, but I think in this country we're capable of getting to a place where we have accepted things and standards for our communities. And if we just concentrated the amount of effort we spend on military shit, on trying to figure out how to stop kids from growing up fucked up, how to come in and help them, how to come in and catch them while they're young, while they're not a mess yet. No one is looking at that. They're allowing
awful
statistics, and they just allow nature to run its course. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then it's like they kick someone in the shin and they go, what are you limping for? It's like they're born into this terrible thing, and then you go, you're fucking lazy. No, they're born into this. Even if they weren't lazy, they're in such a shitty system that you have to be 10 times more motivated to get out of it.
Yeah, I've been around a lot of dudes, especially when I was really young, that grew up in the projects, and then had like a lot of the kids that I used to do martial arts tournaments with. Some they came from really fucked up places, you know, and it was super depressing sometimes when I'd go to visit them and go to where they lived, and they had a lot of anger inside because of that. There was a lot of like frustration because of that, and they'd got out of it with martial arts, and they'd become like productive members of society. But when they would tell me some of the stories of the shit they had to go
that's
through,
the thing is,
how bad the crime is and their projects and how scary it is, you can't have anything sticking out of your pockets, it'll rip your pockets open.
Yeah,
like, whoa, man.
Yeah,
this kid's,
and
living
that's before
with wolves.
They've even gotten to white people.
Yeah
you know what I mean, like that's before that. That's the I got a podcast called The Champs, it's on iTunes, good, whatever, and we only have black guests on. Because I've just never had a boring conversation with a black dude. We've had, and Jose Canseco.
You've never had a boring conversation with a black dude?
Almost never. Almost never. I'm not saying never, but I find that more of my conversations with black dudes are interesting and inspiring and just fucking engaging than white people.
I know a few dudes you'd walk away from.
No, yeah, of course. I'm sure there's exceptions to everyone.
I'll get a few dudes and trap you in the corner and change that statistic.
But that's the thing is, white people, like, they don't spend any... The thing that I always say is it's important that most of black dudes I know that, like, did something with their lives spent time with white people at a young age. Because it's important to get demystified. Have white people demystified. You go, oh, it's not, they're not all out to get
they're
me.
All,
they're
all
not
the
all
white devil.
Yeah, they're not, they're just living their life. They're not, they're also not these big Paul Bunyan-esque fucking, they're not these phantoms that control everything. And they're just people, they're trying to live like I am. And vice versa, it's good for white people to hang out with black people. But the amount of just shit the average black dude has to deal with on a regular basis, just as part of the culture, it's just like, ugh. So disgusting, like looks and calves and just
especially
every single interaction.
Banging some hot white
girl. A real hot blonde white girl. Forget it, Joe.
Yeah, we actually talked about this yesterday with Amy Schumer, where she was talking about how many black girls have that, you know, anger at black men for not dating a black girl. Like, they're mad. And I'm like, that's like one of the few like blatantly open pieces of racism we allow. You know, that's like as racist as you can get. You shouldn't be dating white girls.
What well, no, it, no, it's crazy. White girls? It's like we need to. We're all the same, and we need to overcome. But how fucking dare you? I've
how
always
dare you yeah. try to
like date we're not all the same. Like, turns out we're not all the same. Yeah. These bitches are evil.
You got yourself to worry about, and we're the human race. And if you fall in love with a Filipino lady, it's nothing wrong with that. All
right, right.
You know, just because your ex girlfriend, yeah, it's nonsense. Who the fuck is anybody to tell anybody who to date?
Generally the problem is black girls don't like white dudes, whereas black dudes like white girls.
Tough shit.
No, I know. It's like you need to open yourself up to more shit.
How do you think Chinese dudes feel if they only like white chicks?
They got a hard ride. They got to feel really
hard. It's
hard
to get a white chick if you're a Chinese dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I do a joke.
I mean, a lot of them pull it off. Don't get me wrong.
Nah.
But it's not a common thing.
Yeah, I do a joke where I say I used to ask people that were mixed, if they were half white and half Asian, which parent was what race. But it's a stupid question because I realized that the dad was never Asian. Fucking ever.
That's not true.
It's not 100%. No, you'll find one person, but mostly it's like, I met her when I was in Korea. There's always like because also white girls don't like Asian dudes because they don't like short dudes.
But what if it's a big one? I know a lot of
Asian
dudes.
No, I know there's some really you got to be a sexy fucking Asian to get white girls. Mm. You got to be a Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
You got to be a fucking Kevin Shea. You got to be a Bobby Lee.
Kim Jong.
I mean, you got to be a Jeremy Lin. You got to be a sexy fucking Asian.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest road for white pussy, right?
Asian, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say Mexican dude.
What's the hardest? What's the hardest if you want to get a black chick? Asian guy as well?
Probably Asian guy. Yeah.
Asian guy as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you see Beyonce going out with an Asian guy? Could you ever see that?
Sure couldn't. Not even. Sure couldn't, Joe. Sure couldn't. Bruce Lee, fucking, you got to be that.
You know where it would happen? Some weird place like Scottsdale, Arizona, or something.
That's hilarious. You know, like they met at the tanning salon. Yeah,
so they're just both a little off, and and she gets a thrill out of the fact she hangs out with this dude who speaks Mandarin.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe. Maybe her dad was like really into kung fu.
Yeah, but again, it's got to be like
shit.
Yeah. But I would say I don't. Yeah, it sucks. It's just one of those things. It's just like
it sucks. It is what it is, man.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah,
it's just history.
Someday.
But having said that, I bet during Genghis Khan's time, to bring it back to that they Asian dudes could get pussy because they were taking it, but also because that was the paradigm of masculinity.
That's interesting. That's that's really fascinating. So what happened that changed? Is it all cultural?
Well, that's why I always find that when I go to Europe, it's odd that in America, it's like a granted that black dudes are cool and create a lot of culture. And in Europe, it's kind of like, no, soccer is the number one sport. They prefer like techno music to hip hop.
Yeah, there's a lot of
So there's no, they like don't even get, like black fashion isn't a thing. They all wear tight pants. Like, whereas here, there's a huge strain of black cultural dominance that you go to Europe and it just fucking evaporates. But I think it is that, like, what do people condition to think is good?
Yeah, really? Well, why sexually? That doesn't make sense to me. Because sexually, to me, it's always clear with what men like. Men like the same thing every goddamn turn. I mean, there's a few weirdos who want stick figures and fat women.
Right.
There's
ratio of the 2-to-1 hips to waist?
Yeah,
and all
whatever
that
it is, it's natural.
The golden ratio?
There was a lady that I was in Beverly Hills today, and there was this lady, and she was probably in her 40s, deep in her 40s, which I try to be respectful and not have, like, ugly feelings about women who are older than me when I look at her. But she was...
But your body
built
won't
so
let you.
Nice.
Yeah.
She had these like thin, she had this thin waist and this ass. You could tell this bitch goes to the gym. You could tell she worked out hard. Like she was like really well kept. And you just look at her body, like instantly, like, wow, like that's sex. Like that's what she looks like.
Yeah,
sex.
You're built for sex.
She looks like sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just.
But
automatic.
Girls like, but again,
it's automatic.
Girls like tall guys.
Yeah,
broad
sometimes
shoulders.
They
but I'm talking in general.
They like, you know what they like? They like strength. They like physical genetic strength.
Yes, and they also like social worth. They like that any strength sort as of
well.
Strength.
Yeah, that strength as well.
Absolutely.
That's monetary strength. They want. Yeah. They want whatever looks attractive to mate with.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Men want a woman that can fucking protect their baby in utero and then feed it.
So
with
why
big
not
giant
Asian
titties?
Guys? Why not Asian guys?
Because they're ridiculous. Not tall and they don't have. Generally speaking, they're not tall and they don't have broad shoulders.
But a lot
and
of
they
them
got
are
no
super
social
successful.
Currency. Yeah, they do.
Their social skills. Are
social
fun.
Skills. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, I
for
think
the most
that,
I know they're
no,
they,
I don't,
they're not. I don't
no,
know.
No, I think it could be smooth.
Hold on a second. In what way?
They're just they're. I don't know. They're just like any of the Asians that I know. They're very they're very foreign. Like when it comes to just common, you know, pop culture, pop anything.
Are these? Are you talking about American Asians?
I'm talking,
or
about,
Asians
yeah.
that
I'm
came,
talking about American Asians that I know
that were
like,
born
like,
here.
Having conversations with them, you know, it's very different than having like a conversation with like. An Asian chick.
Do you think that it's because they came from the parents of immigrants and their parents were like super strict?
That well,
like,
that
there's a little of that. I mean, you're making a big generalization. Obviously, I know a lot of.
I'm just talking about the people I know.
Well, look at Bobby Lee. He's not like that. Bobby Lee's pretty cool,
right?
You know, there's a lot of Asians that are like totally down and cool. I know several of them. You know,
right,
that
but
are,
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Is what's the
I know more of? That are actually cool than I that yeah. are like that are like
you know a lot of fast,
but to, cool that yeah. girls would want to date them cool though. Or sure. more like, hey, they're cool if I want to talk about video games and stuff.
Cool if I want to just hang out with them. I like when I think about the dudes that I know that are Asian. I know a lot of Asian
I mean, for
martial
girls,
arts guys. I know a lot of Asian dudes from martial arts, and I know a lot of them. If I want to talk about the most percentage of Asian dudes with white girlfriends, it's usually martial arts. You know,
that makes there's complete of, sense because it's a show. Yeah. It's a they're peacocking. They're
yeah.
And they're fit.
Yeah, if they're badass.
And they wear Bruce Lee brown sweatsuits everywhere they go. With
a
zipper.
A nice six pack. And penis is just easy to get in their mouth. It's like, there's no gag.
Real easy.
It's super. And he's happy about it. He doesn't care. It feels good for him.
Yeah.
She's really just into getting her pussy eaten anyway. I mean, she really doesn't even like sex that much.
Yeah.
So for them, it works. Stereotypes aside. But, you know, I think I have a friend that was. She was raised by a very strict father to the point where when she got older, like all of her boyfriends became, she wouldn't date Asian guys. It was all white guys, only white guys. And her father was like, I just guess just such a like stereotypical, over the top, like, you know, authoritarian, like really strict Asian father. And it just completely whacked her out to the idea of ever dating an Asian guy. And if that's the case, if it's like that's a part of their culture, like I know like my friends that are Korean, like I had a buddy that was Korean. I never met anybody who worked harder in my
life. Well, that's the thing. There's no machismo about the culture. It's just basically like quiet, hard work.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're not into bragging at all.
Yeah, they're not into wearing chains. They're not into showing, getting nice cars. It's just like... We're planning for the next generation.
Yeah, my friend Jung-sik Chang, we did Taekwondo together. He wound up on the national team. He was a national champion, and he was in fucking medical school. And he took a little bit of time off from medical school to compete. Never met a guy who works that hard. It was
Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
A good example.
Yeah, the guy's just fucking like a governor or some
fucking,
shit.
He's the he's like the mayor of Thailand.
To Philippines.
And,
he's not from
and
Thailand.
No, exactly. And he lives in the fucking the place by the Beverly Center with eight of his cousins.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, no, like when they come for fights, they stay at the Palazzo.
Hey, what are you doing? Why would you say that?
Because they show it on the... They show it on that show.
Oh, that's so stupid.
And there's a gate.
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
How many nutty people are waiting outside for him every day?
Fight him.
To fight him?
No, go ahead. They go to the. He goes to Wild Card Gym. They know where he goes. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. If when true. You're that kind of badass, it's like, all right, so go. What are you going to do?
We filmed him. I went there for Tosh's show, and Tosh was going to let Manny Pacquiao punch him in the head, and I was his corner man, and you know. He really hit him really – he was very nice about it.
Right.
Like the first couple times he hit him, he like barely hit him.
Right.
And then were you going to say gingerly?
No. I was searching for a word, but gingerly would apply. That's a good word. But the amount of people that were there, it was insane. The amount
just
of people,
there. That are just there.
They're there.
Downstairs
they
in that parking
there
lot?
Because of Tosh's show. They were there because that's where Manny Pacquiao trained.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this was, I guess, like a year ago, maybe? Less than a year ago? Maybe a year.
Less than a year, probably.
And so he's only gotten even more popular since then.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a goddamn superhero.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a restaurant, a Thai restaurant that you eat at downstairs, and it's got all pictures of him on the wall because that's where he eats.
Yeah.
Dude, they know where to. Yeah, you can find Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, you can find him. But just, what are you gonna? So that's yeah. And he's a humble dude.
Oh, like, he's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah,
he's a sweetheart. Yeah,
that is that weird thing that fighters have, where it's that you're like, where you don't really brag.
Well, I think when you get to be the point of Manny Pacquiao, why would he brag? I mean, that guy probably can't believe how
well. What do you make of Mayweather? Then?
His life is well. That's sort of part of it is his shtick. And it's also part of it is why he's become so successful. And it's right. also part of it is his environment. And if you look at, I mean, there's no better example than those shows, those yeah. HBO series yeah. when they follow him. Because if you follow his life, man, his father was in jail, okay? Yeah. His father talks mad shit to yeah. him. They talk mad shit to
back
each other.
And forth, yeah.
Like he's saying to his father, he goes, you ain't nothing. You ain't never nothing. You ain't no champion. You ain't never no champion. And he says it to his father's face yeah. on camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, he shuts down his father makes him look like shit on camera, and then
his uncle yeah.
Roger's the same way, and they just talk mad shit to each other. And Roger just kind of he's on trial for domestic
yeah.
abuse. He beat some girl up. I mean, that's the environment. And then Floyd smacks some girl, and you know he's yeah. got to go to jail for 90 days. Then letting him fight first, you know. I mean, it's really that's a crazy life.
Yeah,
he's that's part of his environment. But look how goddamn disciplined that dude is.
The well, reason that's why the
Floyd
thing.
Is
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
Floyd will get out. He'll go out clubbing, drinking water, and then with his jeans on, he'll run
yeah.
at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He gets his truck to his driver, whoever the fuck he's got working for him, to drive the car behind him, and he'll just go run home at 1:30.
Do you think that's characterological? Meaning, do you think it's just in him? Meaning, at a certain point, it's like that so-and-so is disciplined. It's almost like that's just how their brain is. Like, they're just, like, Floyd, it's not even, it's like, I just gotta fucking run.
No, he's not that crazy. I think he's doing the work. I think he's just addicted to success, and I think he knows exactly what he has to do to be as good as he is, which is better than almost anybody. And I think his technical skill is only eclipsed by his work ethic, and that's what people don't understand. He's got great technical skill. He's a great boxer. He does.
You've seen him fight live?
Oh yeah.
He's on a different speed.
Yeah. He's also so accurate, and his timing is fucking genius. And he knows how to control a fight. He knows how to pace himself. He knows how to do anything. But one of the big things about that dude is he never gets tired. That guy's never even remotely tired. You never even see him slow down. You know, he's never in a war where he has to dig down deep because someone's been rocking him. You know, when you start seeing fighters in those fights and they're covering up,
yeah.
and they're bouncing off the ropes, the last time you saw that for Floyd Mayweather.
The guy that he ended up knocking out when the guy put his hands down
mm-hmm.
was giving him a little something?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't hitting him with shit. All he was hitting him with was headbutts. The guy was
throwing a lot of punches.
He throws a lot of punches, but Floyd is a goddamn expert at moving with punches and about sliding away from punches. The only guy that's ever hit him clean that I've ever seen in a modern fight, not when he was younger, when he was first starting out, but in a recent fight, is Sugar Shane Mosley. Caught him with a right hand and rocked him. But you know what he does? He fucking calms himself down.
Did he
puts
his fall?
Head, nope. But he got rocked. He got cracked. Boom!
I like that counts as like, he got hit once. Yeah. Like most guys get yeah. knocked out. We're talking about one time he got hit hard.
They all get hit, but he got hit clean.
Right. No, like in the point, but that's how fast he is that you're bringing up. Yeah. Like in one time in 1998, yeah. a guy actually exactly. landed a punch
exactly
clean.
Exactly, he's not.
But that's
like,
I saw him fight Hatton and somebody else, and you just got like this yeah. isn't even a. They're not even in the same league.
Yeah, he's way too good for them. He's way too good, and Hatton started getting tired. I mean, and Hatton was a tough guy, but Hatton was also a partier. You know, and that's that fucked Hatton after he got out of the game. He got real big and started doing cocaine.
Oh, did he really?
He got caught with it, yeah. So, which is so sad when you see fighters that, like, they get out of the game and then they don't know what the fuck to do and they go crazy.
Yeah.
It happened to Joe Lewis. It happened to, you know, Sonny Liston. It happened to a lot of them. They don't know what to do. They just get fucking nutty. What a wild ride they've been on their whole life. Then all of a sudden you say, okay, no more craziness.
There should be a farm or something. I mean, for real, like, what do you do with Mike Tyson?
Well, I think Mike Tyson
is... It's like you're great at violence, and we have no use for it other than in that one thing that you can only really do until you're 27.
Well, Mike Tyson actually, I believe, has a one-man show in Vegas now, is what I've been hearing. And I've been hearing it's really good. And what it is he just sits down and tells stories of his life, just like that documentary. But they put a structure to it, and they you know they know like he knows like how to do it, and apparently has a great stage presence, and apparently it's really compelling
because that's great.
It's great.
Yeah,
you're sitting there with boxing history. When how old are you?
38.
I'm 44. When I was in 1986, I was 19 years old. And I remember when Mike Tyson fights would come on, when I was maybe,
I remember.
Yeah. When Mike Tyson fights would come on, everybody would fucking gather around. Yeah. They would all gather around. It was something different. It wasn't like, hey, there's a boxing match this weekend. Even Marvin Hagler. Those fights were assaults.
Primal.
Yeah.
There was something like, they're going to let a dog attack a person. Like, there's something, an animal is going to fight. Like, something horrifying is going to happen.
He's a part of the sports history. There was no one, I think, today can appreciate how dominant he was when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
Especially amongst the general public. There's a few people that question whether or not, you know, he'd ever fight a guy like Carl the Truth Williams. He had a really good jab. Apparently had great training sessions with him. And everyone was like, Carl the Truth is the guy to beat Tyson.
Right.
But then by the time Tyson got to Carl the Truth, he just fucked him up. Tyson was on a completely different level by that point.
Well, those fights where he knocked dudes out in 40 seconds.
Well, Larry Holmes.
And people get mad. Yeah. And it's like, well, he's that fucking good.
Larry Holmes was older when he fought him, you know, so I would have loved to have seen a prime Larry Holmes, because Larry Holmes gave him a hard time with the jab in the first round. But in the second round, Tyson just started moving his head more, found his rhythm, eventually caught him with a monster punch, dropped him, and then knocked him out in a really fucked up way, where his leg went backwards behind him and then went thwing. Remember that? It was really, well, you looked at it, it was like, his leg is fucked. And, you know, Larry Holmes was a long time heavyweight champion. Nobody had ever done that to Larry. Guys had beaten Larry, but nobody had ever done that to him.
Yeah.
So that guy was like, he's such a historic.
He made dudes look retarded.
It was scary.
He would literally make them look like they would pass out in a way. It's like,
they would do crazy shit.
People don't need to see that. Like, like a drunk. He would make men look like drunk ants.
Yeah. But when he won the title, he did that. Remember? Who the fuck did he fight? That guy who was Trevor Burbick. Wound up being a reverend and shit and doing a bunch of other nutty shit. I think he got murdered too. Why do I know?
He did a lot.
I feel like Trevor Burbick got murdered.
I can't rule that out.
Yeah, that's very possible. But the idea of Mike Tyson telling you all those stories, what it was like to be that guy, you know, back then when he was on top of the fucking world. I mean, he was a fucking monster.
The other thing about Mike Tyson is he's the Mike Tyson of self-loathing as well, meaning he'll just be like, I'm a piece of shit, and it's like, whoa, man, but there's something so arresting about somebody saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, Trevor Burbick was murdered, man. Yeah. I mean, he won the title from Trevor Burbick. You remember that that one thing that Tyson did for the movie where he's talking about his mindset as he was walking to the cage?
They raped his sister or something?
No. He was walking. He was like, he goes, I'm walking to the cage. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this. I'm looking at the crowd. I'm looking at him. I'm trying to make eye contact. And as I get closer, I get more and more confident. I get calm. I get inside. I'm a god. And he just, when it's just like the way he said it, like what the fuck would it feel like if you had gotten
if you're trapped
when
in
he
a
fought
ring.
When he fought Leon, not Leon, when he fought Michael Spinks. That was one of the big fights of Tyson's career. And Michael Spinks was a former light heavyweight champion who had gone up to heavyweight and beaten Larry Holmes by decision. But there was a look in his eyes when they were reading, you know, when the guy was going over the rules and they were looking at each other. Mike Tyson was just chomping back and forth and just staring at him in the eyes.
Even the way he'd wear his towel. And he'd cut a hole in a towel. It's like,
when you hear that quote attributed to that walk-in and you think about that fight and what it must have been like to be Michael Spinks in the room with, at that moment, the most impressive heavyweight fighter in the history of the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you got to judge a guy on what he does to the tough fights when he's in his prime at his best. And Mike Tyson, in his prime at his best, would just run through dudes.
Well, that's what I wonder. It's what horrific. Do you think happens if he fights Ali at his prime? It's not a match, right?
No, I think he might. I think he might get Ali.
I think he just gets him in the first round.
I think he would get him. You know, Henry Cooper knocked down Ali and had him badly hurt. And Customato had, or no, rather, what the fuck's his name? The guy that just died.
Bundini?
Drew Anthony? Oh, Jesus Christ!
Oh, Bert Sugar?
No. Who was Sugar Ray Leonard's trainer? Angelo Dundee.
Yeah.
Angelo Dundee cut his gloves so that they would have time to recover. He got back to the corner and they cheated. They cut his fucking gloves because he got knocked down by Henry Cooper. You know, Ali later, as he got older, got way better. But if they both had fought like when they were both the same age, when Tyson was 21 and Ali was 21, Tyson would have killed him.
Yeah, or even like the Thrill of Manila, or like the Foreman one.
You know, a lot of people don't want to think of, you know, Ali in the later years because he got, you know, battered and beaten up, and they're absolutely right. But even at his best, he still got caught.
Right.
He got caught by something. He never got he never fought anybody like Tyson.
Right.
He never fought anybody like the Tyson that fought Marvis Frazier. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yes, no, that's
the
thing.
Do you remember how scary that was?
Yes, it was like the Christians and the Lions. It was fucking crazy.
And no one's confusing Muhammad Ali with Marvis Frazier, but I'm saying some of those might have got through. And if some of those got through, that would have been the end.
In my mind, Foreman would give him a fight.
Fuck yeah, he would.
Foreman from Africa?
Fuck yeah.
Foreman from When We Were Kings? Like,
Foreman would fire
back. With a heavy bag and shit? It's just like...
Well, you know, that's a good thing you could say about Ali as well, because Ali had an incredible chin. Ali could fucking take it. He could take it. But nobody ever hit him with the kind of combinations that Tyson was capable of throwing. Tyson threw ungodly things that had never existed in the heavyweight division before. Nobody had ever ripped the body to the head like the way he did, where he would throw that right hook to the body and then that right
and then
uppercut
straight, yeah.
And his whole body would torque. And my god,
it's like the shark eating the dolphin thing where it's just like, yeah,
you know, there's a lot of boxing people who totally disagree with me and they say, oh, it's so disrespectful to Muhammad Ali and he was the greatest. He was amazing, but I think things evolve and athletes evolve, and you gotta accept, if you want to try to put them era to era and say, well, if what if Muhammad Ali grew up during Tyson's era,
right? If
well,
he
then
grew up
he would be he would have been better
there.
Muhammad Ali would have been better if he grew up in that generation, and that's not bullshit. Muhammad Ali was an amazing athlete, but he was an amazing athlete in the 1960s. If he was an amazing athlete in the year 2000, he'd be even fucking better, for sure, 100%.
Right.
But if you look at them as far as like it's just a window of time and compare, if you could somehow or another get him in a room in the same physical state that they
were
both in their prime.
Yeah, those guys, the way guys are ripped now is completely different.
Well, Tyson was on another level, dude. He was on another level. And he didn't sustain it, and he definitely imploded, and he went through. But when he was on, man, dudes would be terrified of him. Bruce Seldon went down to a miss. He hit him, and then Bruce Seldon winged a left hook on him, and he fucking stumbled into the ropes and fell. That might have been like some kung fu fear shit.
Yeah.
Where he, bang, he just knew the end was coming. You know?
Do you do any, because I read this book called 10-Minute Toughness, which this reminded me of, and it's a book about positive visualization, just in whether it's for athletes and... Because I asked an athlete friend of mine, like, do you do any sports psychology thing? Because I realized from stand-up, I was like, I have no, not defense mech, but I have no, I just go. Like, what happened was I would be in a bad mood, and I'd be like, I'm going to bomb. And then I'd go and bomb.
Really?
Sure enough. I could feel it. I could feel that I was going to bomb. I was like, you have to be able to overcome that. The feeling of, like, I'm in a bad mood, and then... So I basically, it's this thing called 10-Minute Toughness, and it's basically just about positive visualization of said task, whether it's batting, basketball.
Like
someone said Heffron's really into it.
Yeah.
But I found it's really helpful.
Well,
and you also hear fighters, and you hear, I know athletes that do it, and Pele used to lay down for a half an hour before every game and just visualize it. Michael Jordan, same thing. Tiger Woods, same thing.
For sure, that would help. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Anytime you can equate that thing in your mind with you having success in it, it's going to improve.
Yeah,
and of having success.
You do it in your head.
Yeah.
And then so when you go and do it, you're basically just executing.
Yeah. I do jiu-jitsu in the isolation tank. I do it all the time. I do it in my head. I go over techniques. Like I'll force myself to go over a whole series of techniques. So like I just get into a state in the isolation tank, and then I say, okay, let's break down some guard positions, and then I just go over guard positions in my head. And where am I? Where's this arm? This arm is wrapping around the knee and pulling
right.
it down. Where's this hand? This hand is right
and really
here.
Try to sensation.
Yeah. And then
every...
and I go through the whole move. I go through the whole thing in my head because I know what it feels like to do it. I've done it all. So then I just go through all the moves in my head, and I can practice. And they say that you practicing in that manner is actually sometimes better for you than the actual physical act of practicing. And as far as like rate of improvement, it's really amazing. Yeah,
no, I know. That's what's great about it is that I don't even fuck around when I say this. I've gotten 25% better in 3 months.
Well, when you go back to the tank, do that.
Okay.
Visualize your shows like in the tank. But you should never be thinking you're going to bomb.
I should be thinking
is that you're the luckiest fucking person ever because you're going to go get paid to talk.
Yeah.
You're a professional comedian, which is craziness. The fact that somewhere or another you hit the lottery with choosing something, going after it, and then actually achieving success with it in the point of you actually get paid to do something that's fun, whereas the majority of the world gets paid to do something they don't want to do.
Yeah.
That's why they get money. They get money because nobody wants to do it, or because if they do want to do it, they need to be compensated because it's not the ideal shit to be doing right now.
Right.
You know, maybe it's good work, maybe you enjoy it, but if you had your choice, you might be fishing. Well, the guy who gets paid to go fishing, that guy won. You know, I mean,
that guy's true white trash.
So you're driving to go fishing, okay? You're getting paid.
I agree. No, but sometimes if you just stand up, you got a stink on you.
Yeah.
You just have an emotional stink on you, and you're like, they're going to fucking smell it. And that's where I talked about that genius, the group, the collective unconscious thing, where it's like, they can just smell it.
That's also, I think, where you need love. Neil Brennan.
Neil Brennan, you and I
have always been cool with each other. I know you have had like disagreements with people, and I've had disagreements with people, but I think when we met each other way, way back in the day at Boston Comedy, we were always cool with each other. Because I realized, I'm like, oh, here's one of those dudes that people probably fucked with a lot, and he seems really smart,
right.
He's worried that you might fuck with him, but he seems cool, so I'll just assure him that I'll never fuck with him, and
right.
I bet we'll get along nice.
Yeah. That's simple. That's true. I always felt like a amount of respect from you that wasn't commensurate with my position in life at that time.
Well, that's
there are two guys that stick out: you and Jon Stewart. That were
John Stewart's a very nice guy.
That were very nice before that was a thing to be.
That's how you know how pissed he was at that CNN bullshit when he went on and called those guys hacks and was angry and wasn't funny at all. When you realize how nice that guy is, like, to get that guy to go and do something like that. I've done his show a couple times. You do the Daily Show. He's like the nicest guy ever. He's so friendly.
Yeah.
If he's really that pissed off at you or something. But I've never thought that anybody is in any – I mean, there's no positions in life. I think that's nonsense. I don't buy it for a second, especially as a comedian. Like, why would I ever consider that anybody else would be – there are no positions. You know, you got to look at a guy who's got a shit job. You know, he's cleaning bathroom toilets at a gas station. Like, oh, well, I don't know what happened to him, that he got stuck in this situation.
Right.
I'm going to treat this guy entirely based on how he treats me.
Yeah.
You know, if he comes out and he's got a fucking bucket in his hand and, you know, a broom and he's just cleaning toilets and I ask him, hey, man, do you know where the highway is? And he goes, yeah, go double back there, take that left. I'm going to say, thank you, my brother. Have a good day.
I agree.
And I mean
that's the thing is I try. It's like, what does this guy seem like? Seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
So we're going to be good dudes to each other.
Exactly.
And that's good. And I don't like, then the thing that I like about you being living where you live, which is far away from L.A., is going, I don't even like being around that sort of nexus of like, you will be treated a certain way and you will not be because you're not in movies.
Right.
So you get a shittier parking space.
Right.
And you get a shittier social, you're going to feel shitty this whole time.
There is that, man. I remember I was over a buddy of mine's house. It was actually Brian Callen. It's way back in the day when Brian was a single man, and he had this girl that he was that he had over his place, and I she was like just real cunty. I forget what it was, but Brian was supposed to come with me, but he was always like making like triple plans. You know,
oh, yeah.
Brian's always crazy.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, come on, man, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna go out? Or are you gonna go out with her? Just let me know now. And she's like, God, she goes, the way he acts, you would think he wasn't like the fifth lead on a sitcom. She goes, you're only like the fifth lead. Relax. And I'll never forget.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
I was like, what are you? I didn't even know what number I was. I don't know what number. You read
know
someone's
what
name
on the
off?
Call sheet I am?
She fucking said I was the fifth lead out of, because I was, there was eight people on the sitcom. And maybe I guess my name came in five or six or whatever the fuck it was. She knew it. I'm like, come on. Awesome. How do you know that? How crazy are
you?
I
had a girl laugh at me. She goes, you write for Nickelodeon. This is like in 1994. Like, or,
it's a good gig.
Fucking excited to write for Nickelodeon. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking, any job in showbiz is fucking a good job as far as I'm concerned.
What show did you write for?
All That.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and Keenan and Kel. Oh,
being cool. In that hive of showbiz, there's too many crazy people and the wrong kind of crazy. I can't get anything out of that.
And that's no one acts natural.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever talked about it. It's like, I always say standing next to a celebrity is like driving next to a cop.
Right.
You can't fucking, you can do a facsimile of what you think natural is, but everyone's acting fishy.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking everyone. So I just try to stay away from it.
Smart. Yeah, it's definitely smart. Yeah. You're way better off outside the hive. The hive of the showbiz culture is just so oversaturated with insecurity and insanity.
Yeah.
There's just too much nonsense and too much crazy people, too much need. Like, I don't want to talk about the business. I don't want to talk about any of this.
Yeah.
This is all boring shit. Like, there's a crazy world out there, and we're concentrating on some of the most mundane aspects of it.
Yeah,
just because it's, you know, that's the latest obsession. And you also have to realize, when you have a place like this that is essentially the vortex of all things, where someone all instances where people get a preposterous amount of attention for no reason.
Yeah,
it all comes from here. So all these people who watch all these different shows, the Housewives shows,
right,
and this show, they gravitate towards here, thinking somehow or another this is going to be the place where they get on TV. And there's people right now that are out of their fucking mind. They've been a goddamn nightmare to everyone they've ever met their entire life.
Right.
And they're on a bus right now, and they're headed over here because they're going to get fucking famous.
They're going to get the get out of jail free card.
They're gonna get on a reality show,
yeah.
And guess what? They're gonna get on a reality show. They will. They'll get on one. I have hosted one. I know how it works. I know how they cast. They find someone. If that guy can fucking form a sentence, and he's energetic, and he looks like he might be a
huge narcissist.
Yeah, huge narcissist. Perfect. He's like flexing in front of the mirror. And
yeah.
He shaves his socks. You know. Whatever, where his socks go. Look, I think any crazy person right now could come here and come here just to try to get famous, and that's not a good place to live.
Yeah.
Not a good place to live where that's the big percentage of people come here to get famous. That's unhealthy.
Yeah, I just try to ignore it.
Yeah.
And try to...
But you're in the hive, right? Aren't you in the hive?
I live in Venice.
Yeah, that's the hive, son.
Not compared to Hollywood.
You have a lot of annoying people live in Venice.
Yeah, I agree. It's a different kind of annoying, though.
Yeah,
it's a hippie annoying, which I find forgivable.
Yes.
And for the most part. Also, ignore, I'm in my hat. It's like I drive there and then I just...
Topanga Canyon is a lot like that, too, right? There's a lot of hippie.
Yeah.
Topanga's very hippie.
Yeah, God bless them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really down with that. They annoy me, for the most part.
Yeah.
Hippies?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
But you're friends with like most hippies that I ever met.
Oh, yeah, I'm friends with a lot of hippies. But there's a lot of hippies that I don't like.
Yeah,
I became an anti-hippie person when I lived in Boulder. And then I had to experience hippies on a daily basis. There was
you're being vegan.
There's a lot of weakness. There's a lot of weakness and illogical thinking. And I've had some conversations with hippies, you know, that were, you know, quasi-debates about shit. And they go south real quick. There's not a lot of logic behind the real sloppy.
They have one move.
The real sloppy, lazy hippie.
Yeah.
You know, like, you ever hear the people that Peter Schiff always debates at Occupy Wall Street? He goes down there and talks to the sloppy hippies because they don't really have coherent sentences.
Right.
And it's really, he's battering them around. It's Mike Tyson sparring one of us.
Yeah.
It's not fair. And those motherfuckers there's too many of those. There's too many sloppy hippies who don't really have a good handle on how complex different social issues are. And they will, why should you have all the money, man? Why should you?
Well, that's
why do you
like,
need $500 million, man?
Yeah.
Why do you need that, man?
Yeah.
And he just eviscerates him. Peter Schiff just explains.
You
like,
said
I
that like
jobs,
the fourth
and,
lead on a sitcom. Not the fifth. That was a fucking upgrade.
I stepped. Well, you know what? I have an accent. Years, but I do get in the tank and think about it.
There's a lot of sloppy hippies and
sloppy thinking, man.
Yeah, well, that's what I like about your point of view, is that it's humane and masculine.
Yeah,
I don't find it as like people go like, "Fucking, you're a frat boy." Nope, it's not that easy. Not a frat boy. He's a fucking jock. No, not that simple.
I don't even know the rules to football. How about that?
I don't
even know what's going on. I think people get in trouble and the whistles blow and shit. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Who did what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what a point is. Why are some things more points? Sometimes it, like, you know, they run across the line at a certain point, but if it goes through the net, it's a different point, right? If it goes through the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I don't give a fuck.
But you like fighting.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Well, that and professional pool, which most
people is that true?
Boring as fuck. Yeah,
I like professional basketball.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you play basketball?
I used to. And I just like, it's a fun...
Yeah, it's a very fast-paced game.
Fast-paced, a lot of dudes. There's a rhythm to it. There's a lot of
I love dudes nailing shit. I love a dude who fades back for a fucking three-point jump shot that just is all net. Yeah. I love excellence in any form.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything to me when that ball goes in the net. I know it's really hard to do, though. So when I watch it, it's pretty badass. But it doesn't sustain me very long.
What's funny is when you see, like, you watch TV and then you're around the people and you just go... Oh, when you go, you're sitting near the court or whatever, and you're just like, oh, I understand why they're paid $20 million.
Yeah.
Because this is fucking weird. They're weird to begin with, and then they figured out this weird skill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would assume MMA is like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Where you see a guy fight, and you're like, meh. And then you see him, and you're like, all right.
What do you mean?
Like, if you see a guy fight on tape... And then you kind of think one thing, and then you see him fight live, and you're like, okay.
I might be the only person that has seen more people fight live than seeing people fight
on TV. That's, I thought that as I was saying it.
Yeah, I see.
Do you not do a lot of prep?
Well, I do. My prep really is what I would be doing anyway. It's like, right. I'm such a fanatic about MMA that I don't have to do any extra shit. Like, and I ask them for shit. Like, the UFC will get me shit all the time. They'll say, hey, I need some video on, like, Henan Barao or something like that. Right. I want to watch the videos. So they'll send me some shit. So I'm, like, constantly being, like, fed stuff just out of my own curiosity.
Right.
Like, I want to see, I missed one of his fights in WEC. Can you send me Miguel Torres when he fought Brian Bowles? And
right.
And by doing that, that's natural for me. I want to see those. I'm always, like, breaking down, like, fights in my head as far as, like fights that went on in the past.
Are you sometimes good at red predicting light sometimes. Shit? Are you good at,
like, I never really predict.
But not predicting, but...
It'd have to be pretty over the top for me to predict.
Not predict, but I'm saying, like, are you surprised by most outcomes?
I'm surprised often. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I could I don't think I could ever guess better than 50-50. Maybe. I've never really thought about it. I've never really said. I try to be as objective as possible. I'm trying to couch
the Tyson Foreman Ali comparison.
I don't make that ultimate decision. I try to be as objective as possible. And it's because I'm not betting. I don't have to make that ultimate decision. So what I do is I sit down and I go, man, if Vitor gets him, man, Vitor's got some fast fucking hands. If Vitor comes out guns blazing, he might catch him. And then I go, but what if Vanderlei can get this motherfucker into the second round? And what if he starts landing some leg kicks? What if he can keep his hands up high and avoid the flurry and somehow or another wear Vitor out? What if he turns it into a dogfight? You know, and then you start going back and forth, but I don't know what's going to happen. I never say this is going to happen. I only say this guy should probably be aware of this, and that guy should probably be aware of that, and let's fucking see.
Yeah,
because it's such a crazy fucking sport. The human jaw was never designed to be punched. It was just designed to chew food. That's it. And when you start punching that motherfucker, and when you punch heads were designed to take a certain amount of impact for the lumps and bumps that you're going to get going through life, but it's not designed to take 1, 2, 3 combinations with a fucking shin kick at the end of them.
Right.
Nobody takes that. Your brain's like, what the fuck is happening? Right. Are we hitting an asteroid field?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? Your body's just not designed for fighting. It's so weak. Now, especially in comparison to other animals, man.
Are a lot of those guys getting concussed and long-term brain damage shit?
Well, there are guys for sure that are going to have some issues with what they call pugilistic dementia, depending upon when they retire.
But you followed all the football guys?
Yes, it's scary.
I mean, it's fucking... I think the sport will be different in 5 years.
How would they change it, though?
I think that they will go... Someone pointed out, just put the fucking... You know those the helmets that soccer players wear now?
No.
They're not helmets. They're almost like... not fleeces.
Soccer players wear helmets now? There's
a soccer goalie I saw yesterday wearing one. And little kids wear them, too. Because kids are getting concussions from playing soccer.
Yes. Well, they're getting traumatic brain injuries
from soccer. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Careers
of that's soccer. Happening. But So I saw a goalie in a match yesterday wearing one of those things. And I think that that's what football will come to.
Wow. Well, how is that going to stop the traumatic brain injuries?
Because if you're not wearing a helmet, you're not going to go head first into a guy.
So they won't be wearing helmets?
They'll be wearing, in my head, they're wearing like soft, like whatever this, I don't know what the fuck they're called. They're like soft helmets. Meaning when guys wore leather, so like the leather head guys,
yeah.
They weren't, it right. wasn't as violent because they're protecting their heads.
I completely agree with you in theory, but people are so stupid. I don't think you can sell that.
Right, but what I'm worried about is the legal ramifications for sports. Well, that's
one of the reasons why they probably couldn't sell it. You can right. never sell, hey, the way to protect people is to give them less protection.
I think that when football players are now just suing the NFL en masse,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be a legal problem. And I think the NCAA is going to have the same problem. I think why every NCAA? Level... Every level of football is going to have it.
They get fucked up down there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, right?
Guys getting not diagnosed. Guys getting put back in games. They can't remember.
You know, I didn't even think about college ball. I didn't even think
And
about
high school.
It.
I mean, so all
by the
of
time
it.
They get to the pros, they probably already experienced a gang of concussions.
All of them. And in high school as well. Like and so that's the thing. It's like they're not going to be able to insure this shit if there's enough
that's funny.
Lawsuits.
Because the few minutes of that conversation, I didn't even consider the fact that they had gone through college career as well. I just, for whatever reason, thought of them as professional athletes, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking, no, these guys, this is an organized sport. This isn't like MMA. They actually have to go through a high school career and then a college career.
Yes.
Think about all the impacts.
That's also violent.
Woo!
Yeah.
And, you know, just hope you can get enough out of your body that you can make enough money, you can squirrel away and live semi-comfortably in pain for the rest of your life when it's over.
Yes. And that's the thing is, a former athlete, it's like, you want to talk about needing a farm.
Yeah.
I always do a joke with a buddy of mine who, like, if you lose, like, whenever I see a former athlete, I always feel like they should be, with a girl, they should be saying to the girl, like, you should have been here 8 years ago. Shit was really popping off then, but now they're just limping and fucking.
Yeah,
they're not famous. They're hunched over. They got their bodies are fucking shot.
Yeah, you can get hurt playing football, man. That's a way more brutal sport on your body, in my opinion, than MMA. MMA is pretty rough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not working in an office. No,
but MMA ain't fucking 48 minutes or however long.
Well, more importantly, it's not dudes running at you.
Full speed,
yeah.
And then lunging their rocket.
Yeah, and they have special
launching
shoes.
Launching themselves at you. Yeah.
Special shoes launching so they shoes. Can dig into the dirt better.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And they're on every goddamn Mexican supplement known to man. I mean, these motherfuckers, when they say that they test the NFL, they test if you talk shit and you get in an argument with somebody, they'll fucking pull your piss out and pull your card. You think those guys aren't on the juice? You got to be out of your mind. There's no way humans are that big. If they are, we need to find out what the fuck they're putting in burgers.
Yeah.
Why have humans grown so much over the past few years?
And not lost any speed.
Over the past few decades. Yes! Not lost any speed!
And they're just as fast.
Well, there's better methods as far as training, and they're more scientific.
But they're not that much. I mean, that's the thing is it's not fucking, you can't be fucking 6'10".
Did you ever see Bob Sapp?
No.
You never seen Bob Sapp?
Who is he?
Bob Sapp was the ultimate MMA experiment. As far as like, he was a football player, pro football player, who became the ultimate MMA experiment in that how much can you do? How much shit can you do? How big can you get? And would that overcome technique and skill? And the answer in a lot of cases was in the beginning, it was yes.
He just knocked dudes out?
He beat Ernesto Hoost twice. Ernesto Hoost is this world famous kickboxer.
Right.
Bob Sapp is 370 pounds with a six pack of abs.
Right.
And a body that doesn't even look real. Just doesn't look real.
And he throws punches and kicks like a guy. But it's coordinated.
Yeah. I mean, fairly coordinated. He was clearly like many, many skill levels below Ernesto Hoost. But Ernesto Hoost just couldn't deal with the physical power of his onslaught. It was just too big. It was a 370-pound man just coming out. Those didn't exist before. didn't exist. You can't get a guy that big.
Yeah.
If you see him, I'm gonna pull it up because you just can't believe it. You won't believe that that's a real human being. You won't believe it.
So I'm of the mind that it's gonna change. You know those cryo chambers now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know dudes that, like, the couple NBA guys, the Suns actually just bought one.
Yeah. Hyperbaric chamber.
No, I don't think that's what it is. It's a cryogenic chamber.
What? For what?
Guys will freeze there. Kobe does it. Dirk does it. The Suns just bought one. My buddy Blake Griffin does it, and he sent me a video. You get naked in a, basically looks like just a chamber come from like Austin Powers.
Come here and look at this, because you can't believe this shit.
And you freeze yourself?
You can't believe that that's what he looks like when he fights guys. That's real. Look at that picture. That's real. That's real. That's like 6'4", 370 pounds, and he's fighting some poor kickboxer. Some poor dude is slinging gloves with that guy, and that's what he does. He gets on top of him, holds him down, and smashes him. It's fucking like insane. Yeah, he did that to Ernesto Hoost. I mean, you look at that image, and you go, how is a human being that big? They've never existed that big before.
Yeah. No. So you get into a chamber, it's negative 300 degrees.
Whoa. For how long?
For like 30-second spurts for like 2 minutes.
30 seconds?
Yeah. I don't know if it's 30 seconds. I could be dead wrong.
It's some.
And what happens is all of your blood, your body thinks you're just freezing to death. So all of your blood goes to your core and gets replenished in what would normally take 24 hours.
Whoa.
So basically, you can work out twice. You can do 2 4-hour workouts, full 4-hour, like rejuvenate your body.
I've never heard of this before.
Explain
it to me again.
Cryogenic chamber.
Do
cryotherapy. Kobe Bryant. There's one in Hancock Park. The guy has one, and the NBA teams are starting to use them.
Well, you know, anything that can increase your recovery is where it's at. You know, wow, freezes his body in negative 166 degree. Cryotherapy. That's how you say it? Cryotherapy. Wow, yeah. First article about it. What the fuck, man? That's scary.
Yeah, and you just, it's like, it's fucking bananas.
Bananas.
Wow. This is nuts, man. Let's see how long it says.
They got recovery boots, which is something that they wear if they have, it basically is like the thing that when you get your heart rate checked, when they blow it up, it inflates and tightens your muscles. Guys in the NBA wear those at night for a couple hours, and it just goes through their life and just fucking, they're just machines. That's the thing, is they treat themselves like machines.
Yeah, they have to be. Oh, okay, all the Lakers are going on this thing. They went to Sacramento, go on this thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
Hold on, Christ. I have video of it.
Do you really?
Yeah. Not a lot.
What if that shit breaks and that's how you...
Some guy... I heard some guy froze his socks to his feet, but that sounds like... that sounds made up, doesn't it?
I want to know how long it goes for.
Well, like if you had sweaty feet and you went in there.
Oh, you crazy bitch. Could you imagine?
You crazy motherfucker.
Post-com drip.
200 degrees below zero, where they were kept there for 3 minutes before being released. What? 3 minutes? How's that possible?
Because they don't do it straight through.
I don't understand that.
They do it in spurts, so you don't fucking freeze.
Lakers were split into groups of four and placed into a room that was approximately 60 degrees below Fahrenheit for 1 minute. Okay, so they went to a 60 degree below zero room for 1 minute.
Just to chill.
Once their bodies got used to the cold climate, the players walked into an adjacent room where the temperature was approximately 200 degrees below zero, where they were kept there for 3 minutes before being released.
All right.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I would not want to do that.
How is that possible?
All right, here's Blake.
Oh, my God.
If you hit play.
So if you tried to pee right after that, would your shit be like slushy?
And who is this gentleman?
That's Blake Griffin from the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, my God. He's freezing his dick off, literally. Look at that. Can you insulate your dick? How's that work?
I don't think you can.
Grease it up?
Yeah, maybe you can grease it up.
I'm just worried about it cracking.
You put like motor oil on it?
I'm worried about it cracking, like, you know, like if someone hit you and it just shattered and they couldn't repair your dick.
Yeah. No, but you see when it hits, he goes like, woo!
Yeah, that looks horrendous.
It looks like some Austin Powers shit.
It looks horrendous. It looks horrendous. And I guess they don't do it to the brain, though, huh?
Yeah, I guess keep your head the fuck out.
Yeah, it keeps the body under that thing, but they don't do it to the brain. And I think that might be the key to your survival.
That's how you're getting through that. This is crazy, too.
Because you could probably go for that long without much oxygen. You're not going to be doing too much breathing. while you're at 200 degrees below zero. That's the thing about cold water that fucks people up too. Your desire for oxygen increases dramatically, and your ability to hold air in your lungs reduces dramatically.
And these are the recovery boots. And he's 6'10". And they look like fucking, crazy. I don't even know how to describe those.
I've seen those before. Ryan Parsons turned me on to that shit. It's like compressing.
Yeah, yeah. It compresses sections of your leg.
Yeah, I've seen that before. It is.
It looks like a fucking ski bag.
Yeah, these guys are athletes on a just completely different level these days. And what happens if they come up with genetic engineering, man? That's when things are really going to get bizarre, when they have the ability to engineer the body to make it faster, or to make it, you know, with myostatin inhibitors, make it so that your body produces more muscle and keeps on you and your
I actually had the thought where when I was talking to Jose Canseco, was on the podcast The Champs.
Yeah, how was that? You said it was great. Interesting.
He was really interesting. It just went up. It's really, but I was thinking, iTunes, I had the thought after
Champs.
Yeah. I had the thought afterward that they should have done a thing in the MLB where you could have a designated juicer, where there was one guy on your team that you could bring in who was on fucking roids, and then they could have one pitcher that was on roids, because he was funny. Saying that he used to knock Pettit up, Andy Pettit, a pitcher up, and they were both juiced up. It's like, it'd be like, and here comes the fucking the Yankees juicer, like if there was a guy on every team, you could have one juicer.
When I was 19, I met Canseco when I was working at the Boston Athletic Club. I didn't meet him as much as I gazed upon his presence in person. And he was at the peak of his popularity. Yeah. And he walked into the weight room at the Boston Athletic Club. I couldn't fucking believe how big he was.
Yeah.
He was fucking enormous, yeah. Man.
He's just cartoonish.
Yeah, car-fucking-toonish. You don't realize it when you see him in those baseball outfits.
Yeah.
Because those outfits are kind of emasculating.
Yeah.
You know, but if you saw that dude with a tank top on, you'd go, what the fuck?
Yeah. You'd be like,
He's enormous.
But yeah, that's the, these, yeah, just they fucking, once they get into that, because this is, that's genetic, that's all legal, you're just freezing your, but it's going to get more and more and more, and it's going to be, still remain legal.
Right. Yeah, it is going to get more and
even,
more.
Did you see that thing now where they said if you run differently, you can cut your training time down, where if you run in 30-second sprints? Did you see that? It was in the New York Times, and then a guy just wrote a book about it. You can run for, like, you can burn the same amount of calories and get your metabolism going and get your heart rate going in basically 6 minutes, what would normally take 20. If you sprint for 30 seconds, jog for 30. Sprint, jog, sprint, jog, sprint, jog, sprint, jog, and you're done.
That. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're getting your heart rate up is the big thing, right?
It was in the Times probably 6 weeks ago.
So you sprint full clip.
Yeah.
So do you do this on a treadmill or do you do this on a track?
You can do it either. I think treadmill would be better.
I guess you could probably do it on an elliptical machine too, right? Yeah. Just go crazy for 30 seconds and then stop. And then jog.
Yeah. That is great because it fucking saved time.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know, like you were saying about kettlebells, you can bang out a workout and get it done. In 20 minutes, you're done. I got a video, man, and it's an extreme kettlebell cardio DVD. I got it from dragondoor.com. And when you do this thing, it's maybe I can get 45 minutes into this and I'm fucking dead. I'm done, man.
Yeah,
I'm
and you're
done.
In great shape. There's I'm one I do that's, for days. That's like there's it's kettlebells, push-ups, burpees. Yeah.
But if you tell somebody, they go, "How long is your workout?" Like 45 minutes max. That's all I can do. They're like, "That's all you can do?" Yeah. Dude, I was at the gym for fucking 2 hours straight.
Yeah, fucking did my lats, And then, but you also don't even know what. You ever do the thing with kettlebells where you're like, "Why is that sore? I didn't even fucking do anything."
Yeah, like,
and you're like, your lower thigh will be sore, and you're just like, "I guess I did something."
It makes it use.
Yeah,
Turkish get-ups. You ever do those?
Is that the one that looks really stupid?
No, you lie on your back and you do like a press.
I think that's the one where you stand up. Yeah. It looks stupid as fuck.
It's the best thing ever.
No, it looks really hard, but you just lay on your back with a weight and then you just slowly stand up.
Let me tell you something, dude. Do that with 70 pounds. Hold 70 pounds up and slowly stand up and do it in a controlled manner and do it for like sets of 10. Woo, doggy, Jed.
I'm not doing that.
Woo, doggy.
I'm not doing that.
Your body be on fire. Your lower back and your abs and everything. Your arm, your shoulder, everything's on fire.
Have you been doing kettlebells, or did Ferris get you on them?
No, I've been doing them for years. I've been doing them for a long time. I got into them my friend Jamie was a personal trainer, and he was real big on these fucking things. I'd never even heard of them before. We started just doing swings.
Yeah.
Just kettlebell swings.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's what's great for your ass.
Yeah.
That's what took my ass from 3.5 to a 7.
How many do you do? What do you do it? How do you do it?
Fucking 3 sets of 60.
Yeah. Oh, you do lightweight and just do a lot of them? Do you ever do body weight?
No, squats? But I also, I am only 150 pounds, so if I do 30 pounds...
Right, that's
it's
a lot.
It's not lightweight. It's like something.
If you're doing reps of 60, no, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But body weight squats, not even necessary. Body weight squats, they're amazing, man. They're called Hindu squats. If you look at it online, just Google Hindu squats on YouTube. But it's just full body weight. You drop down, and you're actually, your heels come off the ground. And you're on the tip of your toes, and your ass and your ankles collide, and then you stand all the way up. So you drop all the way down and all the way up. And you, if you watch it online, you can see, like, there's a lot of videos that'll show you the correct way to do it. It's real simple. But once you understand the movement, then it's all about just doing massive numbers of them, trying to get as
many
as you can. I do a set of 200.
It took
a long time to get there, though.
It
would be 100, and I would have to stop. I could do 200 before, but I had to take, like, a break. But now I can do 200 straight. 200's hard, but I'm doing 210 now. That's my next thing. I want to do 210. I want to build up to 500. That's what I want to eventually do. Yeah, but I think that's possible. I think it's a good demonstration of willpower too. It's a good exercise for me because I like to disassociate when I'm doing repetitive exercise things that can cause you to second guess yourself.
Right.
And
about intense, the exercise?
Yeah, about the exercise, about quitting.
Right.
You know, intense physical. I mean, nobody's in my room. Nobody's screaming at
right.
me. I don't have a drill sergeant. It's just me. So the way I motivate myself is I make myself do shit where I have to silence that voice of quitting, where there's no getting through it unless we do 400. It's just,
right.
That's what we're doing. There's nothing. Just concentrate on the number and keep going. There is no quitting. It doesn't exist. And as long as I never quit when I'm doing that, then that is just my modus operandi. That's how I operate. And I do it as like an exercise of
that's how I quit
not
smoking.
Thinking about negative shit. Yeah,
just I know now. If I smoke one cigarette, I'm going to smoke 10,000. So I just got to stop.
How long did you smoke for?
10 years. I was just like, I'm never smoking. I just made the decision. I'm never smoking again.
How much better did you feel when you stopped?
It was 10 years ago, so I don't even remember. But yeah, you feel way better.
Yeah.
More energy, more like, and more everything. And you just go like, okay, I'm not going to smoke again.
Somebody talk to poor Brian. Poor Brian. Someone's got to tell him to quit smoking.
You smoking?
Mm-hmm.
Just decide not to, man.
You're right.
He won't listen to you. He doesn't care. He's positive. He's never getting cancer. There's no worries.
I use it for my voice.
Keeps him sexy.
Does it keep you sexy? That.
My voice, yeah. And actually, I use it for meals. Like today, I'm not even going to have a chance to eat today.
That's a good move. That's for sure
very
healthy.
Good. Now that
you
I agree
you won't even
with.
Be able to fight off the
That's
cancer.
That's something I can get behind.
Your body's not even going to be healthy enough to fight off the cancer because you use it as a dietary aid.
Yeah.
I got to take a leak. I got to take the king of all leaks. All
right, go ahead. And we'll talk about you where you're going.
Go ahead.
And we'll wrap this shit up as soon as you get back. Because we've been doing it for like 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah. We have a nice house show in
We're in Pasadena in a couple hours if you're around. If you're not crazy or a stalker.
Can't wait to see Tom Segura again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Tom Segura is the shit. He's a great guy. Fort Lauderdale this weekend. Saturday night is essentially sold out. I think there was a few tickets left for the early show, but those might be gone. The Friday show has some tickets left, and the Sunday show has some tickets left. But they're going fast. It should be a good time, too. I'm with Duncan, and Duncan's been in the fucking groove. I took him with me to the Louisville Improv, and it was amazing. First of all, he was getting like standing ovations going on stage.
Is he doing Hobo?
Which is crazy. He didn't do the Little Hobo once. He crushed it, though. He's got a lot of new material, too. Duncan is just – he's so fun to be with. He's so prolific, too. He's going to be a great comedian now. I mean, he's already a great comedian, but I mean, I think he's going to be like a great national headliner.
Until he meets that next girl.
You think that's going to get him? You think that's going to get him?
No. He has a poster for sale. Go to his website and buy it. It's awesome. I have one in the studio.
Yeah, DuncanTrussell.com, TRUSSELL. And there's still some tickets available for next Friday's late show at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. I got two shows. I'm filming my special. I'm fucking fired up.
Who's all going?
April 20th. Joey Diaz, Duncan Trussell. And are you going?
Yeah.
Okay. Did they get your tickets and everything, Aaron? Mm-hmm. You're all set?
Yeah.
And Mike Maxwell actually made a poster, and he's going as well. And you could buy that poster, I think, on MikeMaxwellArt.com,
I think.
He's find him on Twitter. Yeah, he'll be out there tonight, too. I'm going to sign some pictures. But yeah,
are we doing dates right now?
Yeah, Mike Maxwell Art on Twitter. You could find the link to his website, and on his website you can find the link to the poster. It looks dope. He's a killer artist. He did my poster for the Chicago show. I think he still has a few of those available, too.
He's amazing.
He's great art and a great guy. Really fun guy to hang out with. So I'm psyched that he's going to be there in Atlanta. Good vibes.
And can I say my thing?
Yeah.
Me and Joey Diaz are coming to Columbus, Ohio. The first show sold out, so they added a second show May 17th. Shit. And then May 18th.
You're in the Woodlands?
Yeah.
Great. It's a good room.
It's a good room, right?
Yeah.
May 18th, I think we're in Cleveland. And then May 19th, Pittsburgh. The tickets are at deathsquad.tv.
Now, what is the Woodlands? What is that?
It's this kid. It's like just a bar, but it's got a good room for stand-up.
Pretty decent room
for stand-up. Good showroom for stand-up, yeah.
Nice. It's like a Doug Stanhope room. You know, that's where, that kind of place.
And they're doing a lot of comedy there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, nice. This kid Dylan Shelton books it, and it's good shows.
Columbus has like a bit of a comedy scene, right? But mostly because of the punchline?
Mostly
right?
Because people want to die there, and they just want to laugh. So it's
wow. Is it that bad?
If you were to go, I know.
Columbus isn't, dude, Columbus, I was just in Ohio. I was in Cincinnati. That shit was pretty grim.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's grim.
Chappelle lives in Ohio. He was so bored that he's like, dude, why don't you return your rental car so I can drive you from Cincinnati to Cleveland? I was like, that's all right, man.
Why does he live there?
Because his family's there. And
it's a nice place for family.
It's nice. Yeah, it's like nice raising kids is a good place. Right, but he's just like,
a good place for you, though.
No, I just don't like the weather. But but if you were to go there, Joe?
You like dating way over your head, which is really difficult to do there.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Nobody's in good shape.
Yeah.
They're all in bad shape.
There's a few of them.
But they got boyfriends. Now. They'll all come to the show and they'll all have boyfriends.
They get locked up.
You know, guys, since we're talking about dates.
What, Neil Brennan? Are you performing
tomorrow? Tomorrow, Thursday, April 12th through 14th, I'm going to be in Bloomington, Indiana. Comedy Attic. Would love to see it.
The Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. Is there a website for this joint?
ComedyAttic.com.
Comedy Attic?
Attic. ATTIC.
Oh, Attic. Oh,
yeah. Comedy Attic.
ComedyAttic.com. Okay,
power. April, but it doesn't end there. April 19th to 21st. That's next week. I'm going to be at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Wow.
Guys, with Vinnie Brand, 19th to 21st. Great room.
Club. Great club.
Charlotte, May 3rd through 5th. The Comedy Zone in Charlotte.
Don't you have a website, motherfucker? Just give out the website. What? I'm not going to remember all this.
NeilBrennan.com. I'm coming to La Jolla, Denver, Charlotte.
He's going
to
beat off his whole
New Brunswick and Bloomington. Well, you guys fucking...
If he kept going, he would have
let him... Fuck you guys. Fuck you, Joe Rogan.
We let him keep going. We'd be here for days.
You're talking about your posters.
Yeah, MikeMaxwellArt.com. Anything else, seriously?
Mm-mm.
NeilBrennan.com?
Denver, La Jolla. Yeah, NeilBrennan.com. And Denver. Follow me on Twitter.
You doing the Comedy Store in La Jolla?
Yeah.
Fabulous room. One of the best ever.
One of my favorite rooms. Maybe my favorite room in the world.
It might be. It might be one of the best rooms
I really want to record an album there because it feels like 1978 there.
It does. Nick DiPaolo recorded his album there.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's great. One of his first one, I believe. He recorded it there. It's great. The acoustics are perfect.
Yeah, it's just, it's easy, too. That's here. I mean, but it's easy, but it doesn't feel cheap.
Mm.
It feels like we're just in a good mood.
You didn't know Fred. You never met Fred, who I think Fred's dead, who used to run that place.
Uh-uh.
They fired him, some accounting discrepancy or something. But he was great. He was a comedian, and he ran the place, and he developed a lot of local comedians were coming there, too. They had a nice local scene. I think they still do.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah. It's probably one of the few local scenes in San Diego. There's another club, a new club.
They just opened one. Yeah, what is that? The American Comedy Company or something?
Is that what it is?
I think that's
I heard good things.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Dude, San Diego's needed a real comedy club for a while.
Yeah.
Every time I go, I do like House of Blues or something like
San
that.
San Diego?
I
think the Comedy Store, that's a good room.
It's a great room, but it's not in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
It's close.
You know what I mean.
But, you know, the problem is it's the Comedy Store. I can't work there.
Right. Well, sure you can. You fucked up. You fucked up, Rogan.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Sure you can.
Well, I'm here to tell you, you still can't work there.
I probably could if I wanted to.
No, I think you're right.
Work there.
I tell you what, I think we should just get drunk and then one night just pop in there out of the blue.
What, do you want to go to jail?
Jump on the OR.
Do you want to go to jail?
They will let you in.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, they will.
I'm not even interested. I have zero desire, but thank you very much. That place represents...
Your name's on the marquee at the Laugh Factory right now,
Holla.
Jim. Right next to me, Jim.
Where?
Laugh Factory?
No.
No?
No.
Jim,
no.
You're not Jimmy Brogan? I'm kidding. No, somebody sent me a picture of your name and my name.
Where?
The Laugh Factory.
No, I don't have a show scheduled there.
I don't think
I've been there in over a decade.
Yeah. I don't think you've ever been there since I've known you.
Yeah, I haven't been there in over a decade. Not that it's a bad club.
No. I'm just trying to think why it's.
When I stopped going to the Laugh Factory when I got serious at the Comedy Store. When I was like, regularly at the Comedy Store, Mitzi asked me to not go there anymore. So I forget. It wasn't Mitzi. It was Scott Day, actually.
You know, did I tell you about this? How Sam Tripoli started doing the Naughty Show at the Comedy Store, and it started getting kind of popular. And then what's his face at the Laugh Factory started doing the Naughty Show also. And he's so Sam went to him and was like, why are you?
But he calls it the Naughty Show?
Yeah. And he's like, why are you doing? He's like, oh, I used to do Naughty Show in the 80s. And I'm like, but you only brought it back because we just started it back up here.
Jimmy
back
Brogan. Up. Sorry. Yeah. It was Jimmy Brogan.
Oh, okay. Back up. So what you're saying is the dude is doing another podcast and
another podcast. Doing another
live show.
Comedy show with strippers and everything like that called the Naughty Show.
And he's calling it the Naughty Show?
Yeah, the Naughty Show. And it's doors down from the Comedy Store where Sam now does it.
Well, I want to be honest with you. I think that's a terrible name. And I think it only serves Sam right. That he picked such a stupid name for a show,
right.
And what he really should do is use this opportunity to come up with something that doesn't suck, and that way some guy can't just gank it.
I think he should call it Sex Squad.
I think we get out on that.
The Naughty Show is a fun show to go to, but that's a terrible goddamn name.
Well, it's just kind of basic.
So nothing. Yeah. It means nothing.
It needs to just be called
Naughty.
Like...
The Sam Tripoli Happy Party.
Yeah, something like Sam Tripoli. Yeah.
He should be using it to blow up himself.
Right.
Not the Naughty Show.
I agree.
It should be like Sam Tripoli's House of Fun. That would be just as good. And by the way, still use the same mailing list, dude. We'll promote it, all right, Sam? We're going to help you out of this mess. Fuck Jamie Masada. Let him have that shit. Buddy, I was doing it in the 80s. That's probably what he said to you. Buddy, I had not this show in the 80s. Let him have it, dude. Just like you should have let those girls have Sex Squad. Let him have it. Let him have it. It Sucks.
I think he'd let him choke on it.
Let him have it. Being let him told know that everywhere they go that they could never have had it without you. How about that?
The Scrum Cap is the name of that thing I was trying to describe.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. A rugby.
Yeah.
I wear one of those jiu-jitsu. It's got little pads on it, but it's mostly to cover my ears.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll die in that. Those fucking giant dudes will smash
your head into you. But not if you're not if they're not.
That's
wearing
how they play.
One.
We're not going to get people to adjust. You're going to have to raise a whole new generation of human
they
beings.
Will.
They're going to have helmeted and non-helmeted. But then there's going to be that one thick-headed dude, like some big Samoan guy who just wants to headbutt people.
Why are you throwing me under the bus about the Sex Squad thing?
I'm not throwing you under the bus.
You said you wanted to do the first episode, and you told me to do it.
I think you should have no negative feelings out there. And I think this girl's look, for whatever reason, she's got a lot of issues.
Nah, let's not talk about
getting,
it.
I just think that could have been avoided, and you could have come off like a bigger person. That's all I'm saying. But
you're the one
absolutely
that's
right.
To it.
Listen, Brian, you're not being honest about that.
No, you said
I'll do your new show.
No, you said you said you need to do one ASAP, and I'll be the first person on. And I was like, okay.
And you know what? That was before I found out the other girl came up with the name.
No, I told you that too. I was the first one that told you that.
No. You told me later. You told me later. Yeah. You absolutely told me later because it was because I had to give you a wait a minute. Wait a minute. That girl.
You hit him with a wait a minute?
Yeah.
No, I told you that the first time.
Okay, Brian, you might have thought you did, but you didn't.
No, I did.
Brian?
Because I've never not said I didn't come up with the name, Joe.
You call me a liar? What are you saying?
Joe.
This is poor social skills here.
All right, never mind.
What are you, Asian?
That's not talking
about it.
So tonight, Ice House Chronicles starts at 8:30.
You're being a silly person.
Okay.
I think you should let those girls have that name.
And I
come up with a better name.
They should rot in hell.
They live in the hell of their own consciousness if they're angry at you.
That's right.
You don't want that, buddy. You don't want her out there with a voodoo doll.
Mm.
Because she'd be putting the pins all around your dick.
No, I just don't even want to talk about them ever again.
You should give her a big hug. What would be a better name than Sex Squad, Neil? You're a creative guy. You were the co-creator of the Chappelle Show.
Let's stop it.
I don't want to talk about your own podcast with hot chicks and. What would you call it?
I think he's got a. I like the squad angle
because it's a death squad and it's about sex and it's a podcast about sex. I know. Right. Let's talk about something else.
How about the cunt posse? No.
No.
How about the We Like Cock Patrol?
Yeah, that I'm with.
No.
No. Are you still there?
It's funny that so many podcasts are gonna trying to lean in on that porn angle, though, isn't it? It's interesting. It's like a natural angle. I mean, we've had porn stars.
It makes on our it's hard to have a bad. We had Sasha Grey on. She's with a black dude, it's fucking interesting.
She's fascinating because she's actually smart.
Yeah,
Dana D'Armano's smart too. She's kind of crazy, but she's fun. She's very smart. We had her on.
Yeah, Sasha's like a regular cool chick.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Regular cool chick that somehow or another is missing this fuse.
Yeah.
Where she can just go take in the ass in front of the world.
Yeah.
What's weird is it's the oldest formula in radio, having a porn star on a show, you know, as like a guest, like Howard Stern, you know, Opie and Anthony. Any kind of local radio station will always have a porn star on. But that was even before you actually got to see it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So now you got like Ustream. We're doing – like the other naughty show we had the other day, we had full-on nudity. I had to take it off Ustream because it was just ridiculous.
How dare they? What'd they do? Dirty bitches trying to get you arrested. By the way, you might get arrested for shit like that. You have to really be careful.
Yeah, I know.
When you get those crazy bitches and they start fingering each other, mm-hmm. you can go to jail for that.
Is that true?
Fuck yeah. You can't just put like broadcast pornography.
Sam Tripoli's naughty show.
Bro. Yeah, you get – first of all, Ustream will pull you because they don't want to get sued.
Right.
But if someone finds out that you're like – project like if they find out that there's any sort of significant percentage of people on Ustream that are showing people fucking, oh my god,
here's a question. Here's a question because they actually weren't really too much of the nudity, but they took these stickers and put it on their boobs, and then they did the whole podcast with the stickers on the boob. But you think that's fine?
That's fine. That's one of those weird double standard things.
Yeah, like, so weird.
The boob meat is fine.
Yeah, boob meat is fine, but you got to cover nipple the nipple. Yeah, and I think you only need to cover the point of the nipple. I think you could show some
areola.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you have a star over the nipple itself, but the circle of the areola behind the star is very clear, I think it's still okay.
It's
so nuts. We're so crazy.
Yeah.
Human beings are so bizarre, Americans.
American human
when it comes
beings,
to sex, we're so nuts. You could put a star over the nipple. Well, how about even this? How about girls who are allowed to wear body paint? They're fucking naked. They're naked, but because they're blue, it's okay.
I wonder if you could put a nipple sticker on top of a nipple. Do you know what I mean? Like a sticker with a picture of a nipple on it. If like an ape nipple.
I saw a photo from a friend of mine's Halloween party that he had a few years back where a bunch of girls came over with body paint on. And like one girl's tits were dogs. Like they had made up. But they were tits!
Right.
They were just tits with paint on them.
Yeah.
And it was, and every girl knew it. And all the, he said, girls that were there that were dressed normal were so fucking pissed.
Yeah.
They were so angry. They're like, who are these fucking whores?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know that you're naked, you stupid bitch.
Yeah.
And you get fucking paint on your tit and you think that that's okay.
Being shown up.
It was amazing.
What about
mannequin
nipples?
It's the best party you ever went to.
Because like, what about mannequin nipples? Because now I got those mannequins and they all have
nipples. No, those
are
totally kosher. Yeah, it's not even real. It's like, you know, animated. If you drew an animated nipple, who the fuck, what are you going to say? Nobody could say anything, I don't think. I don't think that even counts as pornography.
Right.
It's definitely not mannequins, man.
Well, okay.
I mean, the mannequins, it's not like a sex toy. Like if you had like a real doll in the background and you could see the real doll's tit,
right?
That's tricky. But not a mannequin, right?
Yeah, but even the fact that it's like, I actually asked this to a bunch of a female audience one time, like if there were robots, like good robots in the future, and you caught your husband fucking a robot, would you be mad?
Right.
And they were like, yeah. And I was like, but what if it looked like, if it was like a real doll? And I was like, what if it looked like the Terminator?
Right.
They had no problem with that.
Yeah, I think as long as
it's just an ugly robot.
Well, that's why people are weirded out if you fuck a fleshlight, but they're not weirded out if you masturbate.
What
if
you
actually fuck something, a physical object? It has to be like awesome. It can't be a fake pussy in a tube. Like, what is that?
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
What if in the future that you had a robot that looked exactly like yourself, but that you fucked?
I agree.
Is that gay at all?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't want to impose
or narcissistic
my sexuality on the rest of the world, and I don't want to treat women as objects. So I would never have a fake woman. So in having a fake me, essentially what I'm doing is I'm taking the hit. I'm taking the hit myself.
With a vagina.
And I'm just knowing that if I was in jail with me, I'd be a bro. I'd let you fuck me.
That'd be so weird seeing yourself fuck yourself.
Do they have? How about kissing yourself? What if your fake robot has like an awesome tongue? It's like, oh, I love kissing you.
You're pushing your own head down.
You sucked it. Yeah. All right, I'll suck your dick. I'm your robot.
Oh, it's me, bro. It's me.
It's me, dude. How do you like it? Oh, I know how you like it. I'm you.
All right.
And on that note, Brian, I'm sorry if you feel like I threw you under the bus with the Suck Squad thing. I didn't mean to, buddy. I don't want you to have any hard feelings. I'm just trying to eliminate negativity in all of our lives.
I hear you, brother.
And
that's why I didn't.
And I've never had a bad time with either one of those girls. I've always had fun with them. They're always nice to me. So I hate to see something that I think could have been possibly avoided.
By just a nice phone call, right, Joe?
Hey, man, I don't know what the fuck happened for real. I just, it's no need. There's a lot of real beefs out there in this world. There's a lot of real drama. You don't need to.
Unnecessary.
White word. All right, you fucking dirty freaks. That's the end of this week, this whole week of podcasts. Fort Lauderdale Improv this weekend with Duncan Trussell Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we'll be back next week with at least one podcast. But next week, I'm filming my special in Atlanta.
Are you really? Congrats, man.
Yes, thank you. The Tabernacle on Friday. So I'm going to be concentrated on that almost more than anything. And that's it. All right. Love you guys. Bye, see you soon. Bye bye.
Bye. Did you do the commercial?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to do commercials. Oh, yeah. Onnit.com has a new, we have a new thing for the next 30 something hours. It's, the promo code is CRAVE and you get 21% off. Go to thanks to the Fleshlight and go to fleshlight.com, enter in Rogan, get 10% off, and onnit.com is also code word Rogan and you get Fleshlight you get 15%, onnit you get 10, but forget that Rogan code, use the CRAVE code and you get 21% off. Boom. There. That's it, you dirty freaks. We'll see you tonight at the Ice House. See you this weekend in Fort Lauderdale. See you next week. Some strange
Tabernacle
podcast. And then the Tabernacle. Jihad to you all.